participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you. Stop the run. Stop the run. Can't stop the run.
On my knob, ass munch. Tickle the Duke, useless prick. Smell my hog, queer bait.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, I missed you guys.
Hey,
who are you? you need to know who he is? Him right there. Come on in, friend. I thought that a break would maybe get those guys out of the picture.
No. You asked who he was.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
There he is.
Refreshed and ready to hate some more.
Yay.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Andy Rice has left. Again.
And all not working here anymore?
No, for now. And all the ships at sea. I think he'll be back, don't you?
Yeah.
He leaves all the time. Returning after extensive mourning with the Widow Burl and the Widow Moore, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday. It is March 28th.
Right.
And there he is right there, Buzz.
Hi.
He got his car scratched on vacation.
Yes,
I saw that. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Saw that down there. Here's your phone numbers for instant access from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C. We got to thank you for some super goddamn ratings while we were on vacation.
Man, it is so nice to come back to that news.
Cool. 202-432-1067 in New York. Finally stopped.
Yeah. Really?
Yep, on the rebound as well with the ratings in New York.
Hey.
I want to thank those of you who listen to the show on WNEW. Here's your hotline, 877-692-1027. All right, sit back, buckle yourselves in. I am ready ready to tell you about a vacation that wasn't a vacation. Some good stuff, some not so good stuff.
Hey, I got the same kind of story.
And some surprises.
Yeah, there's one I want to know bad.
Well, you're going to have...
I'm like a little kid that wants to skip right to the Chewy Center.
Just got
to
wait, Mike.
You
Hold
tipped
on.
Your hand with me over the week.
Pipe down, you.
Called me and told me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
First things first, Don and Mike. Welcome to live Baltimore radio.
Yes, let me say it is great to be back on live in a beautiful Baltimore on WJFK.
It sounds strange, but we have had a vision of the syndication aspect of this show being from New York all the way down to D.C. And you can listen to us live now. You can leave New York City, listen in Philadelphia, listen in Baltimore, and we got all of them, and we are delighted with that.
Glad to be back on live in Baltimore.
We're sending you a case of Polak Johnny's, some Church's Fried Chicken.
Yeah. All right, dear, Marty Bass.
And Marty Bass is going to come make an appearance.
Don't forget the Cincinnati Bears.
Marty Bass. All right, thank you, my friend.
You bet,
it is good to be back on in Baltimore. I also have another affiliate note. I'm going to pass this on that I found out over vacation that the station we're on in Wichita, KFH, what they've done is they've now got an FM station.
Okay.
So they're simulcasting KFH, our show, which is heard currently tape delayed in Wichita, is now on FM. And AM.
Hello, smooth jazz fans.
That's
is that what it is?
That
it used to be. Yeah,
okay.
Until today, until a few days ago,
okay,
yes.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Buzz, did you spend time in Wichita on the vacation?
No, none whatsoever. I spent time on the phone with Wichita, however.
Okay. Really? Well, maybe someone from Wichita, today when the show is replayed at 2 o'clock Wichita time, will get their thumb out of their ass and figure, I've figured out a way around this.
Yes?
Here's what you do. Because they run Liddy from 10 till 2, Wichita
right.
time. And keep in mind that, running the old...
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
That's you, white trash.
There he is.
By running his show 10 to 2, they're still running it an hour delay.
Yes, they are.
They're not running that show live. What they should do, I don't give a rat's ass about KFH AM. You know, keep it where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But on the FM station, run us live.
Run us live. If you're going to have us on two radio stations, put us live on one, please.
Yeah, and we'd rather be live on the FM, KFH FM, than on KFH AM.
Then you can literally listen to this show all day.
and that's the dream.
You can be Don and Mike all day from 10 in the morning all the way through 2 in the afternoon.
Hello, Don and Mike show. And then again from 2 to
from
6.
From 2 until 6 o'clock.
That's
hello?
Beautiful. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike? Living radio gods.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah.
I hope you guys go after the douchebag who put up that prank like a wolf after raw meat, man.
Now, listen. Yeah, I've got something I want to say about this. There's funny, and then there's not funny. Okay.
I thought it felt like a kick to the crotch when I read it.
If you don't know what this guy's talking about, I'm not going to give this guy John Stevens a lot of airtime because he will get a chubby today. He's the guy who ran the website that we got mad at. And originally a couple of weeks ago there was a post that was printed by somebody just to on a message board saying that I had the grape sized tumor and we laughed about that.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it, and it was some material that we had.
But as it turns out, what this guy did while we were on vacation was this was the guy who runs the website. He apparently, and I've just seen it today myself for the first time, he has a banner on the top that says, Don is dead.
Oh my.
That apparently I had died of this brain tumor, and that the funeral was going to be today, and that if you want more, click on this link to the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
So you click on the link, and what he has done is replicated the Washington Post with all of the style, sports, business, world news, international news.
That's not right.
All of this, and he's written a fake story about my death, written by Frank Ahrens, who, of course, as you know, no longer even writes for the Washington Post in a radio type deal.
Except on special occasions.
The thing is, I'm all for gags, and I'm all for jokes.
You get jokes.
Yeah, I get jokes. But I'm pissed. Yeah.
Well, this thing...
I'm pissed.
This thing grew hair, like, with national media.
Yes, and, I had relatives who heard about this. I had friends of the family who heard about this.
I when I read it, I actually believed it. I went out and I bought a boat.
And the point is, I get
kidding, of course.
I get jokes. Yeah, I make jokes.
Right.
We kid all the time on the show, but there's a line. Okay, there's a line. Even when we kid on the show, we don't go that far. I mean, you want to write something phony on a website, that's fine. But when you write that I'm dead and you fabricate the Washington Post in it,
This guy's dealing now with three separate legal entities who are going against him.
Oh, this was very, very bad what he did.
One of the legal entities is Infinity Broadcasting. They're going to cut him an ass. Then you got the Washington Post, because you got copyright infringement.
They're not real happy about that, what was done.
They're not happy.
Because the Washington Post was quoted in other media outlets.
Oh. And not to mention the fact that on the website, it said, Washington Post, copyright 2002.
Yeah, bad, bad, bad.
Not true. Then third, there's the little legal action for me.
Ah.
Because I can take a joke. Trust me, I dish it out, I can take it. But I would never get on this show and say someone is dead. I would never.
You would wish them dead.
I would never call someone up and say, hey, listen, I'm reading right here in the Washington Post that your husband or your wife is dead.
Yeah, that's very, not to the immediate people that are around you,
yeah,
but to the extended family members. I mean, it's freaky. And you know what? I didn't like getting the phone calls from guys that I know that were saying, hey, is everything all right? Here's how the conversation was started. Is everything all right?
And then I got this from some people. You know, well-meaning friends. Hey, great April Fool's joke.
Yeah, right.
Now, I said to those people, one of them is a neighbor of mine who lives up the street, a pretty decent guy. I said, you're just as stupid as the people who, when Mike announced that he was getting separated,
mm-hmm,
had the gall to say that Mike was doing this as an April Fool's gag. Why would Mike put his kids and his family,
right,
through something like that,
exactly,
for a gag? Same thing on my part. I'm all for jokes. I get jokes.
I sure wish it was a gag. wish it was a gag.
What your situation you're in?
Yeah, I do. I wish it was a joke, but I think today I realize once and for all it's not a joke and it's going to happen.
Well,
I just had to say that right now.
Sorry.
This is very much on my mind.
Oh, my. Mike, we're talking about my death.
I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to tell everyone that although I was optimistic that maybe there'd be a last-minute reprieve, I believe we're going forward. So that's my latest update there. Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop the show and bring all the energy down to nothing.
Stolen my thunder. Here I am.
I know. Your death is more significant than my separation. And
it is a non-death.
It is a non-death.
Here,
I'm speaking
live
to you right here. You're in the flesh. This is not an animatronic dummy.
It's a non-death. And the important thing.
Hey, Jim Rob.
I want to. Yes, Rob. Hey, here you go, Rob. Hey,
feel this. That's the real guy.
The thing I want you guys to know, all you guys listening to the show, as far as I'm concerned, this is going to be handled behind the scenes, but just know this.
You had to say something because people accused us of making this up,
yeah,
and that's not right.
This ain't an April Fool's joke. It ain't an April Fool's hoax. I have an April Fool's joke planned for Monday's show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you that now, but it doesn't involve anybody dying.
Good. Right.
Okay?
Good.
This is not an April Fool's joke that we had anything to do at all. And as far as I'm concerned, I dish it out, I can take it. But when it starts affecting the people that I love, meaning my family,
mm-hmm,
and the people that I work with,
right,
well, then you know what? Then you're in the deep weeds now. Now you're way up past your knees. Okay?
And you know, it's not like the first time that this guy's pulled some crap like this. I think the guy's got some, you know, something going on. I don't know what it is. It's very difficult to figure out, but it started with putting things on there that were, you know, even though Lewis is not a part of this show, when he put that thing up on there about Lewis and his
Lewis
problems,
CWI, right?
I mean, that was way out of line, and the guy seems a little out of control. So we'll see where the chips fall.
The deal is, like it's always been on the show, I'm fair game. You know what? But when you do something like
not
that,
me,
when you do something like that, and it affects not only me but it affects my family,
right?
You know what then? Then it's personal.
Right.
Then you will feel my wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not feel my wrath by hearing me yell or scream like a baby on the radio and say, oh, I can dish it out, but I can't take it. Now, I'm just going to do the things, just do the same thing that Infinity's doing, same thing the Washington Post is doing. That's it. John Stevens, you effed with my family. Get ready. Just get ready.
Get ready. Get ready. I'll tell you, it was strange stuff. It was all the talk of the VIP club in Fort Myers, Florida.
I mean, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, the newspapers are calling, and the trade papers are calling, and goddamn, well, I'm sorry, I guess we bored that guy. Westwood One is calling, and the advertisers are calling, you know, and meanwhile, I'm oblivious to it. I'm in Miami. I don't have a computer. I'm oblivious to the fact that this has gone on. So, listen, it's not a joke. It's not a prank. It was a hoax, a badly timed hoax by John Stevens, the guy who ran that website. And
I'm only thinking when I heard the name that perhaps this whole obsession with this guy, this negative energy that he's bestowed upon all of us, is somehow related to his relationship to Ken.
I don't know.
So, I mean, I don't know whether he is related to Ken at all.
Now that I've gotten that out of the way, here's how I want to start today's show. I realized I had started the last show before vacation, coming in, talking about my Connie Honey.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, the last show before vacation?
Yes.
Like the first half hour was...
You were talking about the problems.
Me screaming. Screaming about her, and she was screaming about me, and we were to that point where it was like...
Hello.
You know, hi, sweetie.
Hi, my darling.
We were saying that.
Wow.
Listen to that.
We were to
listen what a little vacation does.
Yeah, we were.
I was hoping for the same thing.
We were to. We were not. You know, no offense. We were nowhere near your situation, but we were. We had had on. I think like the day before vacation.
No near my situation. Meaning. No,
we're happily married.
I'm kidding.
Sorry.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Of course.
Listen. We. You know. She's a. She's a good lady, my lady. My lady. My lady, and much as I just wanted to show the difference here that, you know,
yeah, you have the downs, but you have the good times too.
Yes, sure. And we were a little testy with each other before vacation, but
the break did you good, is what you're saying?
Yes, as much of a vacation as it was, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. We had a most excellent time.
Good.
It was a quickie, but we needed to unwind a little bit together.
We had the vacation revolved around my kid. You know, hey, listen, get used to this. What doesn't revolve around my kid? And it's the time of the year when you look into colleges for your kid. My kid's going to be 17 this weekend. And a lot of the vacation was spent in that regard. But we were finally able to get a couple of quality days down in Florida together. And
beautiful weather down there, huh?
Very nice.
Man, oh, man.
Boy came down there with us. And, I got a ton of stuff to tell you, but I just wanted to say that, first, I am alive. And second, she still loves me.
Yeah,
and
that's wonderful.
And I obviously, as I said Friday,
it's, you know, cherish it.
I love her. And
wrap your arms around and hold tight.
I realize I said this on Friday. It was in jest, of course, a week ago, a Friday, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I really don't want to cut her head off.
That's good for you to say that publicly. I think that's great.
I really don't want to cut her head off.
It's progress.
If you could have that engraved on something, I would really love it.
I can't promise a foot.
It's interesting that she brings up engraving, though.
What? The word grave?
No.
What?
No, marking of some kind.
Oh.
Would you shut? You know what?
I'm excited.
You weren't gonna.
I'm excited.
Shut up, you.
I'll shut up. Yeah. It's the
and
last.
Me,
I'm like a little kid,
Frida. Mike, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
He doesn't love me as much as I love him.
Oh, okay. See, another tease. This is
okay,
very interesting.
Shut up, both of you. Okay, it's the final part of the vacation story.
My forehead is head turning right now. My head is peeling.
It's flaking.
I can't handle the sun. I think I got a serious melanoma thing going on. Oh.
But no, I won't say anything more about it because I know you have a way of weaving these things and you have a way of presenting the smorgasbord.
And trust me, I'll get to what Mike's talking about. It's nothing earth-shattering, but just... But bear with me.
Okay.
But bear with me. And for the moment, please take a look at it. Now, why are you pointing at your ass?
I'm not. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say why I am because, now you said that I was. So.
Oh, now, oh, will you stop it? I see what you're doing. Stop
it. I'll stop it.
Stop it. You're making me give you that double flip now.
I'm just fascinated. I'm very fascinated.
Yeah. It's gonna come to you. You're going to get it eventually.
I'll shut up.
For right
now. Did the other boys get the same tees that Mike got?
Nobody knows. Honey, nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knows. All right. I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
All right, baby. I'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Right. Bye, honey. So.
You cherish that. Yeah. You hold on to that. I mean it. I'm serious.
You like?
I'm very serious.
I need to get
a new shrink.
Before I get going on the vacation stuff, would you like a couple of moments on the show?
I'm just very sad today. I'm very sad today because today is a significant day for me when I'm basically signing the arrangement to move into my own place, and it's kind of a drag. And that's it's not, you know, it's one of those moments where you where the reality sets in and you really know what you're going through. So I'm having, you know, when I hear, you know, I love you and I love you, this it's just you know, it's a drag for me because I know you're not doing it that way. It's just, I mean it. I mean, hold on to that. It's a good thing to have. I wish I still had it, and I don't have it, and it's kind of a bummer. So I just thought, and I'd like to say hi to my friends down at the VIP club down in Fort Myers, Florida.
Isn't it rich?
I've decided that I'm going to plug this place because it's my new favorite place to live. I drowned a lot of sorrows down there, Don.
Me here at last on the ground.
With singles ranging anywhere from 21 to 81.
Wow.
It is the Uber bar, as far as I'm concerned.
In the clouds.
It's a perfect place for me to drown my sorrows.
God damn.
As I sat there at the cocktail table just two nights ago, talking to Elvis between sets.
An Elvis impersonator.
I was sitting at a table at the VIP club in Fort Myers, Florida, with Elvis Presley, who was still wearing his jumpsuit.
Terrific! Were you?
No, I was not wearing a jumpsuit. He did Elvis, like, from 1950s, and then he did Comeback Elvis in the leather jumpsuit, and then he came out with the whole sparkly 1970s Elvis, and he's a big fan of the show. And I'm doing fine, though. I'm doing fine, but I have to take those moments to think about life. Yes, Rob.
Was it Michael Hoover?
No. I wish I remembered his real name.
Yeah. Was he based up here?
No, down there.
Oh, okay. So it's also very talented.
But
sure.
You hold on to that, Don. Hold on to that, love.
Okay, I will.
Otherwise, you'll be living alone.
Okay.
By yourself.
Those are working. Oh, hold on. Hey, Robbie, you got to hit that button for me.
happy Thursday, everybody.
Hello, Mike. Don and Mike show. Hello, Mike. Are you there, buddy? Try an out-of-town call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
So it's always an experiment once we've been out of town.
Hello. It's an experiment when we come in here every day.
You know, to see,
hello,
to see who's done what to the knobs.
It should be set now.
Yeah, all right.
Before we left for vacation, you said that we were going to eventually have a phone bank, one simple phone bank. What's this?
Oh, it ain't that easy, Mike, yeah. What is that?
What do we have here?
Flowers?
A plant?
It's a beautiful plant. And the card says, glad you are not dead, staff at KCJJ, Iowa City, Iowa.
They're very sweet.
Isn't that nice?
They're very nice.
What a lovely plant that is. What a lovely Easter plant.
That's great. Let me see the card. Glad you're not dead.
Glad you're not
never
dead.
Get that from Sacramento.
Jesus.
No.
They never say that.
Hey, listen to the Sacramento dance.
What is?
Now Rob's doing it.
Now Rob's doing it.
It's good to be back. I haven't done it in what? Almost 2 weeks. Hello, friends.
Fantastic.
I'm glad they're not dead.
I got it.
Yeah, it's infectious, isn't it?
You just have to go.
There you go.
Both you guys now doing the Sacramento dance.
With no prompting. I mean, really, no.
Sacramento's done nothing to you.
They haven't done anything so far today.
Not yet. Let's see. Jay, hello, Don on my show. Jay, are you there?
I'm so glad you guys are there.
Thank you. Hi, Jay.
Oh, I was paranoid you're dead. Then I was worried this was going to be a radio chick thing. When she went off in WNEW, I said, oh, God, I'm not going to listen to these guys no more. So I'm really happy you all are back.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Jay. Oh, and Rob, I should mention that when I was down in Florida, we did manage to get in 2 days of vacation down in Miami. I did have I took a picture, and I'll bring it in for you tomorrow.
Of what?
It's just a sign.
Oh, great.
Just a sign.
Something Rob would like.
I saw the sign.
Well, those signs, I thought, were taken down after the 1960 Civil Rights Agreement.
No.
Really?
You're thinking the wrong way.
Really?
Think about the opening that we have on the show.
Okay. I can imagine.
Like,
I mean,
a rally?
Were you down South Beach area?
Yeah.
They got some weird stuff going on down there.
No, nothing weird.
Well, what is it then?
It is a simple sign. A simple road sign.
Yes, so cryptic.
It's a simple road sign that says Jewish museum.
Okay.
And has an arrow right. pointing.
Very good.
And
is that the billboard that has my picture on it or the one without me on it?
And I said, you know what, then?
It's that, you. It's your head with a line through
that makes
it.
Me
oh,
think,
like the Ghostbusters logo?
Right.
That makes me think of Rob. I think I will snap a picture of that sign.
Excellent.
I'll put it up in the office next to you next to the Veen Dom.
Very good.
Love when you bring me photos. Almost like I'm with you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
Welcome back to Baltimore.
Yeah, great to be back on live in Baltimore.
Baltimore is. I'll tell you, there's nothing like being live.
Listen, Mike, I got a couple comments to you real quick.
Yes.
I know what you're going through right now.
Oh, here you go, Mike. Ready for some condolences from Baltimore.
When you go through this, I don't remember this from my first marriage, but after, you know, with what I'm going through right now, I will tell you I get a lot of commiseration with people. Maybe it's because of my age. I'm older now. A lot of people, you know, talk to me about this. You get a lot of sympathetic conversation. Yes, you've been through this, too.
You still love her, right, Mike?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, listen, let me tell you, I was separated for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back together.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that from other people.
We've been back for a year now.
I've heard the number one piece of advice is you have to let go.
And you know what the funny thing is?
Yes.
When I first got separated, you know what the first thing I did out without going on a date? I came on your show and did strip trivia about 4 years ago.
You did. Yeah, you know what? Hey, well, you've let the cat out of the bag now because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going out to get a date and I'm going to participate in strip trivia.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks so much.
Guys, take care.
Thank you. Toodaloo. Ass.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jacqueline. I've been listening to you guys for 10 years since I was 14, and I just wanted to call and offer my sympathy and condolences to Mike. I feel bad for him.
Well, listen to that. That would make you 24.
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry you're out of the range.
Well, the last one wasn't.
Oh, nice.
I'm sorry.
Nice. You said that, I didn't.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
That's so okay. Cool. I forgive him.
Thank you. That's okay. That's it. Everything's okay.
Good.
Everything's A-okay.
All right. It's going to be fine. You're going to get through this.
Jacqueline, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Here we go.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Right on.
The celebrity I most resemble. Let's see. I would say it would have to be a cross between Nicole Kidman and Kate Blanchett.
Oh. Really, you want me to leave her at home?
No. Stop it. No, not the old days. The old days.
I tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang up on you, but I'm really going to put you on.
No, you're not.
Mike, that's line line two.
No, absolutely not.
So nice talking to you, Jacqueline. Maybe you can help Mike through this stuff.
Stop it.
Hold on, please.
Stop.
I mean, goodbye.
Right. There you go.
So how are you?
No, I'm sorry. I was just doing that. I pulled the mic away and pretended I was talking on the phone. No.
There you go.
Oh, stop.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, John from Texas.
Hi, John.
Texas. How are you?
Where are we on in Texas?
Austin.
Austin,
that's right. Okay.
I wish y'all were on more places in Texas, but I don't have the money to buy radio antennas.
All right.
I just wanted to offer my condolences to Mike.
Well, that's enough.
Oh, please. Death.
What's that?
You don't need to offer condolences. I'm still very much alive. And Don is very much alive also. I think that should be our message today. We are both very much alive. We are alive because we are fighting.
Enough with the condolences, please. Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Toodaloo ass.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And much like that, a call like that always seems to screw up the phones.
No, I'm just seeing. Are you still there?
Yeah. Oh. Hello?
Who's that?
It's Jacqueline.
Stop it. It's a good sign, Mike.
Stop.
That is a good sign, isn't it?
See, she didn't hang up, Mike.
Yeah, all right.
I didn't hang up.
She didn't hang up, buddy.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye, Jacqueline.
Bye. Right.
Wink,
bye. Wink, wink, Jacqueline. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Stop it. God.
Imagine, though, the trifecta you would have had if I really would have kicked. You would have had, I would be part of the Dudley Moore, Milton Berle trifecta.
Yeah, that would have been a solid trifecta. A comedy trifecta.
Yeah. Someone out there, there's some funny man, ready to die. Oh, and today, yeah, don't worry. We're going to turn on the hotline to heaven today.
Yeah, and I just want to, warn people. I don't know where he is in the country, but I wouldn't stand real close to Carrot Top today.
Uh-oh. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
No such luck.
God damn, we would have a party.
Doing one of those AT&T commercials where he's in a hockey uniform and he falls and hits his head.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Glad to hear you're not dead.
Thanks.
Here's your possible third. Lyle Lovett was trampled by a bull.
Yes. Broke his leg in 9 places.
Ow.
Yeah, right.
9 places?
Yeah. I hope this doesn't affect
you. Well, he's got a little bony leg, too.
Yeah, very thin.
Try to contain yourself, Don. I know.
I know. Don's really subtle about it.
Way to hold back.
Hey, Don. Lyle Lovett was trampled by a bull.
I always lost him.
He's doubled over.
There he is. He's walked to the back of the studio.
Funny.
Oh, man.
Don may die yet of laughter.
That's funny.
That is funny.
I'm sorry. Lyle Lovett being trampled by a bull's funny.
Man, 9, anywhere, any other breaks or contusions?
No, just that they think.
How's his face, Buzz?
I think his lovely face is okay. They think it's
so the fall wasn't cushioned by his hair. Was he rodeo riding? Is that what he was doing?
No, he was helping his uncle out on a farm just outside of Houston, and they say it's going to take like 6 months for him to recover.
Well, 9 places, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God we have that extensive collection of his CDs to get us through this time.
Yes,
I listen to them all the time.
The Lyle Lovett CDs. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, Robbie, why don't you pull one out for you? I bet you know the one I'm thinking of. Pull one out for me right now. Do a little mini, just show you I got a heart. Do a mini tribute
that's
to Lyle
Lovett.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, this is John.
Hi, John.
Hey, I just want to tell Mike how to get over his divorce.
It's not a divorce, it's a separation.
Well, I just want to tell him how to get past that. I do it when I feel heartache.
You are talking to Mike right now. We're both here.
I am here, sir. You're speaking with
me. Okay, Mike, this is what you do. You go down to McDonald's.
Who's calling?
This is John.
Hello, John.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, is this John?
Yes, this is John.
How you doing? This is Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, you go down to McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
You get you a straw.
Yeah.
And you suck it up, you big baby.
All right. Okay. Thank you, John. Toodaloo ass.
Get out of here. All right. Listen, I was kidding. Let's go to our Lyle Lovett album.
Yes, let's. I didn't know we had a Lyle Lovett album.
We do. We got Lyle Lovett's greatest hits.
Oh, we do.
He is a Grammy award-winning artist.
Yes.
Lyle Lovett, here you go. One of my favorites.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the white Pacific shore.
Lyle Lovett.
To the freedom of flowing mountains to the south and by the shore. Driven by the dawn and sad man quite well known by all.
Is there an album?
Is this album post-bull trampling?
Yes, I believe.
During, actually.
During.
Where's the large band?
Well, lucky, lucky me. Why can I be luxury? Because I've got a pocket full of dreams. La, 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 la.
I can see what Julia Roberts saw in him.
La, 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 la.
Okay, so there you go. There's the tribute to Lyle Lovett.
Sorry,
I laughed so heartily at him being trampled by a bull.
Well, he'll be fine in 6 months.
Yeah. Good as new.
All right, so let me just get the vacation stuff started here. As my cunny honey already alluded to, and I know, Mike.
Hold on. Hold on with both hands.
Hold on to that love.
Absolutely.
We're off like a week and a half. And really, except for 2 days, it was not a vacation. What it was this deal where we would we'd go around and we would look at schools for my son, which is just, you know, when you have a kid, I don't wish this on any parent. I wish, there's got to be a service or something. There's got to be some kind of mail order deal.
Like somebody who'll do it for you?
Yeah, someone who actually will take your kid to these schools. The only good trip, from my perspective, was that we checked out the University of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Which meant that I got to go back and spend some time in Chicago.
You love Chicago.
Love Chicago, and hooked up with some of my boss jock friends.
Fantastic. Any famous ones that we would know?
Well, you know, just all my guys. You know, John Records, Landecker.
That's cool.
You know, guys like that. And funny to hear a friend of mine, a guy who used to work at WLS, did afternoons for a long time, Brant Miller. He is now relegated to simply doing 60-second news updates on John Landecker's morning show.
Wow!
So how the you know how the mighty have fallen,
right?
So
right.
there was some talk of the good old days.
Well, there's nothing all that wrong, you know, with doing a 60-second news update. Come on, let's not hurt feelings here. It's a gig. He's got a gig. I've got a gig. We're employed. We're
Buzz,
on. Come on. Okay.
Buzz's microphone is open during the entire show.
That's right.
And many times,
you have any sensitivity training on your vacation? I mean, my God.
Many times, Buzz's news segments are on 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes.
This is true. Yeah, but if you added that up to a 4-hour show, it'd be 60-second news updates.
Well, Buzz is a fully accredited member of the troupe here.
I understand.
Brand Miller says nothing during the show. It's all John Landecker.
I understand. Okay. Uh-huh. I just was making sure everybody was okay.
And I love it. You know, we got back and my wife said, God, it was awful. It was freezing cold there. It was like, it was 8 degrees. Right. And the snow coming. I love it, and I love the attitude of the people of Chicago. The fact that it's not that they're a-holes. It's just that, you know. I mean, it's they just if you don't know what you want, just get the hell out of their way.
Yeah,
they're tough.
I mean, yeah, they're tough salt of the earth people. Mm-hmm. So I loved it, and the more that I was there back in Chicago where I worked for 10 years, the more I was back there, the more, you know, I kept saying to my wife, God damn, oh, I love it here. And she kept looking at me like I am absolutely out of my mind.
She doesn't share your love for Chicago?
No, she's, well, actually, the deal was, 17 years ago, when she was pregnant with Bart, we had to decide. I'd done a lot of jumping around in my career from city to city. And
right.
Like in Chicago, I worked at 2 stations, but still just jumped around. We decided where we were going to live. We were living in one city to raise our kid. We weren't going to make our kid go through what I went through. You know, and a lot of people do, moving around a lot.
Right.
So I voted that we live in Chicago. My wife voted that we move to D.C.
I see.
Hmm. Where her family lives. And, of course, you know, even way back then,
right.
my queen won out. And I still love Chicago.
Yeah.
And even when we were down in Florida, when we were sitting on a beach, and the weather was perfect. It was 80 degrees. And we were just sitting, having a cigar, reading a book, sitting next to my honey, just, you know, just kind of stroking her head and saying, you know, just feeling that love, that love
right.
that I shouldn't let go
that
of.
You should hold on to with both hands.
She said to me as we were looking at the water down beautiful, you know, that blue Miami water, she says, now really, wouldn't you rather live here than Chicago? And I swear to God, I looked at her and I said, no. No. She said, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? And I said, Chicago. She thinks I'm nuts.
Interesting. Yeah. Why?
I love Chicago.
It's a great city.
What?
Three of us will have to have dinner together. We can make it. We'll have that Florida chat. I was thinking about that every day that I was down there, how much I love it down there. I mean, I think they're...
I'm not saying I don't like Florida.
It was nice
spending a couple of days in South Florida.
I mean, you talk about the people and the rhythm down there. I find the rhythm in... and I'm on the southwest side. You're over on the east coast. And, you know, the rhythm down there, this time of year, it's just, you know, it's everything that I dig. It's, you know, it's the golf, it's spring training baseball, it's fishing, it's just...
Oh!
It's such an outdoorsy place, man. It's, if you like doing stuff outdoors, there's nothing like it. And the rhythm down there is like...
I don't, though. I like staying in the room.
You like to be indoors.
I like being indoors.
You're an indoor man. You seem to have a nice tan, so you spend some time outside.
Well, you know, I tan very easily.
You tan. It's weird.
We were in Florida for 2 days.
Right.
We were all over the place, going to nothing but cold weather climates for the entire rest of the trip. We were in Chicago for 2 days, 2 full days. It was 2 days in Florida, and I'm tan like this.
It's, you know, it's very cool. In fact, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. How much I love it down there, and how if your wife likes it down there, maybe we can all just get together and chat about that.
No.
Moving the base of operations.
No way.
Look at that man over there.
I love sunny and warm. I love Chicago, but I love sunny and warm.
No way.
I had a lot of conversations like that, you know, about like the technology of it now, as far as you know, sending those special phone lines.
Oh, that would work. That would work. How about you be down in Florida?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So what you would like, just do the show from your balcony and
yeah.
Or, yeah, that would.
I don't have a balcony. I have a
Lanai.
What is a lanai?
It's like a patio thing with that's enclosed by a screen.
Yeah, that would work.
Why? Why not?
That would because we need to look at each other in the eye while we do the show.
We do need to look at each other.
We got
to
be in the same room together to do the show.
This is true.
We got to do it. Face it.
You know how it is. You came back from a vacation last year, I think it was, and you get all googly when you're on vacation. Some vacations affect you more than others. This particular vacation, I got so into the lifestyle down there, and I met so many new friends that it just, it captivated me. And the fact that, it was 87 degrees. It was 87 degrees, and up here it was 28 degrees.
Now, no.
I like the warm weather.
No, you are as bad as my wife. We get off the airplane yesterday. We're coming back from Florida. We get off the airplane.
That's 45 degrees.
52.
No, it was 45. I looked in my car, and it was 45.
Well, how late did you get in?
I got in at about 7 o'clock, 7:15.
Okay, we got in at 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay, so it was in the middle of the day.
So our plane arrived yesterday about 3 o'clock. My wife says, oh, I'm so cold.
Right.
You got to go get the car.
Oh, that's right, it was 51 during the middle of the day here.
Come, go get the car and come pick me up.
It was 51 degrees. Like, better jump in the pool.
51's a nice temp, man.
No, 51, it's a nice temp for what?
What's it a nice temp for? Running from the car to the mall?
No, it's nice to be outside. I didn't wear a jacket today.
I think you got to put that 6 in front of the temperature before you really enjoy
651
it.
651 degrees?
Yes.
Never mind.
651 degrees, skin sloughing off. Eyeballs bursting with the heat.
It's like you cook a turkey at 651 degrees, man.
No.
I do have to tell you, the one thing I will tell you, though.
It's 87 degrees outside in Florida, but in the VIP club, always a crisp 72.
You will be glad to know that I've given in to my wife has said the one thing that she was banging me about, not literally at all. Banging me on the head was, we don't have anything in common. We don't have anything in common. That was the thing, I've been in this marriage for 20 years.
Nothing works.
Nothing works here.
So we decided that we are going to take up the game of golf together.
Oh, God.
She and I.
Okay.
She and I.
Yeah, I just remembered I didn't do something.
She and I. Make that call. You got
to
call back.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you got
to
do that.
All right. Well, I got it. I saved it.
Yeah. She and I are going to play golf together. Mm-hmm. Because we see how good it worked out for you.
Oh, wow.
Now, let me tell you, though. She bought a set of clubs, but really, during the 7 years of marriage, my wife and I did not play an inordinate amount of golf together. I think she humored me, and then she kind of stopped playing. She plays occasionally.
Well,
that's it. So we really didn't do it. It was never an activity that we really did a lot of together.
This is something apparently that my wife and I are going to, we're going to do this now together, just she and I. We're going to just take.
I think it's fantastic.
Take time. You know me. I think golf is the biggest, most colossal waste of time on the planet. But I love my queen, and incidentally, after watching Training Day about a million times to get over vacation, I love it when Denzel calls his wife his queen.
His queen.
I've decided to stop calling Frida my cunny honey and call her my queen.
You know,
my queen. I'm going to do what my queen wants.
I've experienced sports with the golf game with you. I have heard you talk about your experiences with tennis with you, and I am not a negative person by nature. But I will tell you that my own opinion, no good can come of this.
Well, I will let you know.
No.
I'm just telling you.
This is a recipe for problems.
We are attempting this together. I'm doing it because my queen wants it. And Rob, again, you're in my thoughts as I'm watching the Academy Awards, and I'm thinking how upset Rob must have been, not only with the fact that Sidney Poitier got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Pounding his fist down when Halle Berry broke the barrier.
Halle Berry won, and then Denzel won.
But some good has come of this. I know that next year I need to take more than 10 days in a full page in Variety to make my wishes come true.
I understand. Congratulations on the Jim Broadbent Academy Award,
very
which
exciting.
I know you lobbied very hard for.
We got together afterwards and ate mayonnaise.
The whitest looking man that you could possibly find.
Yes, I tutored him in being white.
It's true. And I know you were lobbying for Judi Dench, too, yes?
Oh, my name.
The only all-British actors.
At one point, Frida said to me, she said, really, she said, you know, Rob maybe is not the influence. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, here we are. We are 2,000 miles away from Rob, yet you have stopped to take a picture of a sign that says Jewish Museum.
Right. Uh-huh.
You are the one who is saying...
You're celebrating culture, Don.
Boy, am I... And, right. And I said, she says, you're the one who's saying... Boy, I can just, if it's too bad we're not doing a show tomorrow, because I know I could do a whole bit with
the joke with Rob.
Rob being upset that yes. Halle Berry won and Denzel
right.
won and,
yes.
and Sidney Poitier won. And
yes.
she says, you know, Rob's not here.
Right.
I said, yeah, I know.
But if only.
Right. Yeah, I wish. And I think at one
is
point.
Is the attitude perhaps you're hiding behind, Rob?
No, I think it was.
On your own.
I think at one point I actually said to my wife, thank God she didn't get pissed at this. I said, I wish Rob was here.
Yeah. You know, it's sad. I said the same thing.
Yeah, there you go.
As we're going nearing the fifth hour of Oscar,
mm-hmm.
and I said, this is intolerable, but if Don were here,
yes,
this might be fun.
Hold on to that. Time.
It's fascinating.
Okay, we got a break.
We do have a break.
I do want to tell you about the whole vacation, and we want to hear about your vacation. Man.
Yeah, you have a lot more to tell, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I got a couple of items to get to, and then the thing you're waiting for. 877-365-3636, the toll-free number. Be the 100th caller now to win some stuff. Good luck. We'll be right back. Right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Right back.
Sports 1140.
This is Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com with all the skinfo from the latest movies. Four new flicks hit theaters this weekend. Clockstoppers, The Rookie, Panic Room, and Death to Smoochie. And it's Death to Nudity. Not one upskirt, not one down blouse, not even a bare shoulder to cry on. How's a pervert supposed to make a living around here? Thank God for DVDs. Angelina Jolie's movie Original Sin hits the stores this week. The flick is loaded with great skin, but the high point is 18 minutes and 10 seconds in. That's when you get a great look at Angelina Jolie's while Antonio Banderas has given her an oil change. I am very happy to report that they are finally releasing the 1994 skin classic Exit to Eden on DVD next week. There's a ton of gratuitous nudity in the movie, but my favorite scene is when former China Beach babe Dana Delaney shows some full frontal getting out of the pool, and it is wet and woolly fur burgerage. Warning, warning, Rosie O'Donnell is in a black leather bondage outfit for most of the movie, so keep the remote handy. I'm Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, fast-forwarding to the good part.
Don and Mike are excited. They're doing their radio program. It's called The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Mr. Skin. Let's get a call 100 going here. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yo, 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 I'll be calling 100.
Yo, 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 yes, hi, what's your name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, where are you from?
New York.
Mike, you won dinner for four at the Macaroni Grill.
Word.
Yes, try the new Mama's Trio.
Yo.
Homemade lasagna.
Don, I'm chicken. Glad you ain't dead, son.
Hey, thank you. Chicken parmesan and hand-rolled cannoli all together for $10.99. Enjoy that courtesy Macaroni Grill. Thank you for listening.
Yo, they got macaroni and cheese there?
They have a variety of it.
Yes, hey, you can get yourself macaroni and cheese.
Yo, I want some macaroni and cheese and some Kool-Aid. That's cool.
Have you ever been to the Macaroni Grill?
Yeah. You go right on the table.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I've been there in Miami.
Well, good. Now you'll enjoy it. But I'd ask, let us know if they do have the regular mac and cheese there.
I bet they will. All guys, right. I just came back from a vacation from Florida last week, too, so I know how it feels.
Man, what a nice back. Down there. Beautiful down there.
Yep. Nice. It's nice.
Yep.
It's no Chicago, but it's nice. Thank you. Hold on, Mike. Thanks for listening. Hold on. Okay, let me get right to the part about when we finally go on vacation.
Yes.
Because, as I mentioned, the first part of the whole first 7-8 days was all of this going to schools, and, you know, they're
it was
Jesus
like work.
Christ, and it's and the money they want to send, you know, I think I'm paying a lot of money for my kid to go to the school he goes to now.
Right.
Forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
The money they want for some of the schools that my kid can go. I keep telling my kid, get dumber.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the private institutions, you know, they're really creme de la creme. They cost a tremendous amount of money because of the professors.
I tell my son, too, he has two options. Either get dumber real fast. The problem is he just took his SATs.
Right.
And, I mean, the score is astronomical.
Well, you were telling me his scores, and it's frightening.
He's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not bragging because I'm not a smart. I got like 1167 on mine.
That's not bad.
Well, you know what my kid got? 1400.
That's in that special range.
He got 700 verbal, 700 math.
Unbelievable.
So he's got 1400. So of course, you know, only the schools that are likely to force me to stay in the radio business for the next 35 years.
I got 540 verbal, and I don't think I remember my math. Oh, yeah, I remember my math. 10.
So, you know, it's depressing that you go to these schools and they're trying to tell you all the stuff that's happening at the school. And meanwhile, my kid just wants to know if it's a party school or not. And and the money is astronomical. And my head is swimming after this. So finally we decide, you know, we're going to take 2 days. Simply 2 days. We're going to fly down to Florida. We're going to stay at a Marriott hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy, but we're just going to go down and have a good time. So we're at Dulles Airport. We're leaving to go to go to Miami, and the three of us are getting on the airplane, me, Frida, and Bart. We've made it through all of the screening. We've made it through the part where they, you know, they x-ray your bag and stuff. And
pretty amazing the changes, did you find? I mean, I found that the changes that they made, especially at Dulles Airport, I mean, between flying at in December and flying now, it was a big difference.
Let me just say this, and I mean no disrespect. I'm glad that we have Marines mm-hmm. at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish they looked like they were more into their jobs.
Interesting.
That a lot of the Marines that I saw appeared to have the work ethic of Joe Ardinger.
Yeah, they might not necessarily be Marines. I think they're National Guard.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm right. Sorry. I didn't mean to...
You know, if you're going to piss off Marines, make sure you know they're Marines.
Okay, they're guys in fatigues.
Yeah, they're guys in fatigues. I think they're Army National
that's
Guard.
Right. Okay, well, you know, they were just goofing around.
See, I don't think those guys are the kind of guys that are regular... Yeah, they're the guys that are the weekend warriors, I think.
That's what they call them.
I think right. That's what they right. do.
Maybe that's the deal. So anyway, when they get through all this stuff...
So what's the guy, like, picking his nose, looking around, or
well,
what?
Well, one guy...
Because, I mean, when you say that...
There was one guy who had... now they're carrying sidearms.
They don't have the M16s anymore. They carry sidearms.
They don't have rifles. They have
and I don't like that. I liked the rifles.
Yeah, it was
and
a good look.
One guy is...
good
now,
look.
As,
secure.
As you're coming through the security where they're going to look at your bags... One of the guys in camouflage, has a Dunkin' Donuts styrofoam cup, and he's got it on his hand, on his finger, and he's just, going like this, like waving it around in the air, like making it spin.
Right.
And the other guy in fatigues is looking at this like he's seeing the greatest bit of entertainment he's seen in his entire life.
See, I knew you had to have a reason for it. That's valid.
Yeah, and I'm sure that most
you're supposed
of the guys,
to be there at attention.
Most of the guys do a great job, and here was a guy spinning a Dunkin' Donuts cup on his hand, and the other guy was like, whoa, that's great.
The one guy I saw down in Tampa Airport was going to the camp. So they were like, he was like taking a little stroll and left his buddy by his onesies. So, you know, maybe he got a little point there.
Well, they got to pee. I mean, he had a deuce. He had to drop a deuce. So we make it through all this stuff, and now we're going to get on the airplane. And as we are getting on the airplane, of course, they announced that they are going to randomly select people and randomly screen people.
Right.
Guess who they select? Well, here I am. Here I am.
You got the privilege.
I got the privilege. Now
they don't do that to nearly as many people as they used to.
Here's what I got.
It's that Mediterranean look you have.
Here's what I got. This is before I was tan. This is on the way down.
No, you're always tan.
And you know, and I don't know. Maybe I had on khakis and a Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
But I'm there with my wife and my kid.
Were you wearing? Were you wearing the turban?
I wasn't wearing it. I was not. Yeah.
Everyone on this plane looks good, except that gentleman wearing the Nike shirt.
So, the broad pulls me aside, and she says, excuse me.
Do you speak English, sir?
We're going to do a random check, because you know you got to have your driver's license out when you get on the airplane with your ticket. She takes my ticket, she takes my driver's license, and she says,
do you ever think you want to try an accent just to F with them a little bit?
Oh.
Don't take my license!
No, listen, because as it turns out, I did say something that got their dander up.
Oh, yeah, because you got to be
unintentionally.
Careful.
Now, she says, she pulls me aside to the little table. And keep in mind, you know, I know these things have to be done, but it's embarrassing because...
You weren't doing a Gaylord Faulkner impersonation, were you?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just standing in line waiting to get on the plane. She pulls me out of line, and everybody else walking by is looking at me. You know, my son is going out of his mind,
right?
Laughing like a hyena. You know, see you on the plane, Dad.
Yeah, because when they sit you down, I was watching a lady get this done. They take a good long time.
Yeah,
it's not like they quickly go through your stuff. They linger, and you have to sit down and wait.
She said, "Do you mind if I go through your bag?" And I said, "Help yourself."
We're going to need you to slip out of those briefs.
So she goes through my bag. Now, I also want to point this out as far as security.
Your suitcase bag, right?
Yeah. A carry-on.
Good.
Oh, a carry-on.
She wasn't picking at your bag. Your bag.
Not at my scrot.
Oh, her bag.
Each of us, because we didn't want the hassle of checking luggage, we're going to be gone just 2 days, we had one carry-on bag.
I'm going to need to see that bean bag.
Now,
what are these?
I'm noticing as we are going through the very first part of the security thing of the airport, one of the things it says you're not allowed to have is a cigar cutter. Mm. I guess because it's got some kind of a razor blade.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said to Frida, as we were making our way through the very first security point where you had the National Guard guy was spitting the thing on his finger. I said, "Oh Christ, I'm going to get nailed." I know I packed a cigar cutter because I packed some cigars. Well, my bad, made it through. Didn't think anything about it. Now I get to the second part where they pull me out of line as we're getting on the plane, and she says, "May I go through your bag?" The lady unzips my bag, and inside I've got a very small mini humidor. This little box with cigars. She opens it up and she says, she takes it out and she says, "Open this up, please." I open it up. She says, What is this?" I say, "They're cigars."
Is this that thing, that metal thing that you have, that little suitcase-like thing that you have?
No. Okay. It's a little plastic one.
Oh, plastic one. She says, because that one you used to carry, my God, that was a scary looking luggage item. That thing that looked like really you had like nitroglycerin in it or something.
So she says, "What is that?" I say, "They're cigars." She goes, "Okay." Then she unzips another one of the little side bags on this bag that I'm carrying, and she actually pulls out. I've got another small one of those little things that you carry like three cigars in.
Right.
You know, one of them things.
You travel elaborately with your stash.
It's my vice.
Right, right.
I don't want to go somewhere and be stuck without a Fuente.
Mm-hmm.
That's my brand of cigar. Now, inside this thing is a cigar cutter,
mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, she's gonna confiscate it,
right?"
Yeah. And it's too bad. It's my own dumb fault for bringing it on.
Sure.
I totally forgot about this. She opens it up. She looks at it, she puts the top back on it, and she goes, "That's fine." So she lets that go by. Then she goes through, everything in my bag. Everything. She's holding up my underpants. She's going, she's holding every shirt,
mm-hmm.
the entire bag. Then she says, "Great, now we're going to have to give you the wand."
Mm-hmm.
So I have to stand, and again, this is very embarrassing, but I know it's part of security, so I'm going through with it. I'm standing like this, like I'm doing a jumping jack, okay, with the arms and the legs at the side, and they give me the wand, and she says, "Now turn around," and she gives me the wand on the other side, and just when I think I'm done, she says, "Have a seat and take your shoes off."
Yeah, they usually do that.
Yeah,
standard.
Hold on, what is this? Jim?
Hey, Don.
This cannot be serious. You're disgruntled about my Marine comment. I didn't know if it was a Marine or what it was.
Well, I'm just trying to say that, you know, you make a generalization. That's probably why we just changed our utility uniforms, because we're tired of looking like everybody else or them trying to look like us.
All right. I said I apologize.
Oh, no. I understand. But, I figure you might want to hear, you know, a point of view from our side, you know, why we might look around bored, you know, eyeballing your luggage and, you know,
Hold on a second. It's not. We're not talking about Marines that are at the airports, right? Those aren't Marines,
no.
Correct?
No, they're not.
Okay, so.
But occasionally, there are some places that we are at airports in the country right now.
All right. Are you active now?
Yes, I am.
Well, let me just say, if you're an active Marine or a National Guard guy, I don't care how friggin' bored you are, pretend you're not bored.
Well, what you're doing also when you're standing there, you're not necessarily, you know, it's. It's 50% of your job is, you know, in case the S hits the fan. I think really you're showing the colors. You're showing the flag, and you got to look.
And I agree with you. It's just, me standing at the airport, I'm not at that rank where I'm going to be doing that. That's, you know, for the low life. But what I'm trying to say is just, you know.
Well, you're a high-ranking officer.
Oh, heck no. I work for a living. I'm enlisted.
But all I'm trying to say is just...
What, Gomer?
Don't make fun of Marines, but you're better than the Marines in the airport, right?
What's that?
Don't make fun of Marines, but you're better than the Marines that are in the airport, right?
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, you just did. You said they're low ranking. I don't do that.
Well, but they, I apologize to my brothers.
Not accepted.
All right, listen, enough of that.
Yeah, Rob's had a week of not being able to hate.
Guy's an idiot. So now the woman says to me, she says, I need you to sit down and take your shoes off. I said...
I bet this is when you blanch.
Now, here's what I said to her. I said to her, she said, why don't you take your shoes off? I said, I don't know if you want me to do that or not.
Oh, see, big mistake.
Yeah, now I know it, but I don't, you know what I mean? Because my feet stink, right?
Yeah.
So immediately, she goes on...
Were they fresh shoes?
Brand new shoes.
Oh, okay.
Brand new Nikes, but...
How long does it take for you to stink them up?
A couple of weeks.
Okay. Right.
But these are new, and I'm just goofing around with her. Right? I said, I don't think you want to do that. And right away, she goes into that little... She's got that microphone thing on her shoulder, and she goes, gate D14, need assistance. Gate D14, need assistance. I'm like, what? And she said, you just told me that I shouldn't look in your shoes. I said... Ma'am, I was I was implying when I...
So she immediately got heavy with you.
She said, you're going to have to take your shoes off. And I said, I don't think you want to do that.
Right.
And then she got on the... And I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, you... And I said, well, I've got... I have awfully smelly feet.
Is that what you said to her?
Yeah. I said, my feet...
You would only say that because you were backed into a corner.
My feet stink.
That's so funny. I can picture her doing this.
So then
he doesn't want to take his shoes off.
Now, another guy comes over. Another one of these guys come over, and he says...
They wrestle you to the ground.
Is there a problem? And I said, no. I said to the woman that... You know, that thing about, I said, you better be careful because my feet stink.
Is there a problem here?
Now the guy is lecturing me and saying,
right.
Well, you realize in this day and age of heightened security, you can't. I said, listen, be my guest. Take my shoes off. Go ahead. So I sit down. She takes the shoes off.
Between the toes.
See, what she does is she puts her hand all the way up in where my foot goes.
Oh, man, that's tough duty.
Right. And, then she says to me, may I touch your feet? I said...
Oh, this is like the worst thing in the world for you, but you've already gotten yourself in trouble.
I said, sure. Now, she got on rubber gloves.
Right.
I said to her...
May I touch your feet?
I said to her...
Rub your feet.
Oh, that was Mother Teresa. Well, Mother Teresa bit.
Rub my feet. Now between the toes.
Rub my feet. So I say to her, I'm going to say something to you now. Don't take this the wrong way, and please don't call any other security, but I want to tell you that I suffer from toenail fungus.
That's probably getting her more. Why do you have to volunteer? She's not going to take the sock off.
She did want to take
the
sock off.
Oh.
So she said at that point, okay, you know what I will do then? I will simply feel on the... do you mind if I feel your feet on the... And I said, no.
Was the experience pleasurable?
No, because I'm not a foot person.
I understand.
I'm oogie about the foot thing.
Right.
So, and not to mention the fact that I feel like a queer because I've got on my Green Bay Packer socks. And I mean, I got a nice pair of khakis and a nice Hawaiian shirt. I got my Packer socks.
Lucky
on.
Lucky socks.
And I got my pants are now hiked up around to my knees. And I got this broad in front of me wearing rubber gloves. And she's feeling my feet and feeling my ankles.
Sounds to me like you're on the fast track to a full body cavity surgery.
And she finally says, okay... That's fine. Thanks for your assistance.
Now, please bend over, Mr. Bavar.
Thank you. And in the future, if you're ever stopped again, don't say anything.
Yeah.
I said, I was just mentioning that I've got a problem with foot odor.
Sure.
And then she said, to get the last word in, she said, yes, I noticed.
Oh.
Oh. Hey,
you know, they're pretty
Thank you, honey.
Did you fly United?
Yeah.
They're heavy duty.
Yeah, thank you,
I mean, they're very competent. Yeah, I was very impressed with the whole thing.
I was tempted to say to her, you know, and you are perhaps the ugliest bitch I have seen today, but I didn't say it.
Yeah.
You know, and because listen, I know this. These were brand new shoes. There's no way my feet stunk.
Well, so there.
There's no
way. Come on.
There's no way.
Come on now.
So we get down to...
Maybe a little bit.
little nervousness?
Maybe. It was maybe a little bit. Just a touch. Maybe. Maybe it stung a little bit. But they have that new shoe stink, so it's not really a bad stink.
Well, it's the stink just beginning its onslaught to the new leather smell.
So we they let me back on the plane, and by this time I'm walking past all the people who have seen me go through this. And,
right.
And no one is enjoying this more than my wife and my son.
Sure.
You know, who very loudly, as I sit down, they go, "Oh, they finally let you back on the airplane. What did they do to you out there?" So I'm telling them, you know, I said to my wife, "You're not going to move. They made me take my shoes off."
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, my God," because she knows my foot thing that I got going.
Would you testify to the fact that they're very thorough when they do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely they are. And I had no problem with it. I was glad to participate. It just, you know, my feet stink. I can't help it.
A little embarrassing.
So we get down to Florida. Now, we got to do a break, but let me just preface the next part of this by telling you that my kid, during all of this, with all the traveling we did to Chicago, and we would go from a warm weather to a cold weather, my kid got very, very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And my kid had been prescribed some medication because he had, like, worse than flu.
Mm-hmm.
He was sick as a dog, but the doctor said he was okay to travel because he had medicine.
Okay.
Okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right.
That when we get to Florida, we go to the Marriott Hotel. We, you know, this is a pisser. This gets me about hotels. God damn it. Why, when you book a flight, why do they book a flight to arrive, let's say, at 12 or 1, when they know that the check-in time at a hotel is 4 o'clock? Why is the check-in time at 4 o'clock and the check-out time is like 11 o'clock?
Yeah, it's not right.
It's a pisser.
You're cracking me up, though.
Why?
Because you're saying it like, well, you make the decision when you're going to fly.
Well, no, my queen.
It's not like.
Well, listen, my queen.
Saying,
made
the, why do they?
The queen.
Why
made,
do they let the plane? Well, don't you pick when you arrive at the airport if you're going to stay at a hotel where you're checking at 4 o'clock?
What I'm saying is, you get ripped off when you go to a hotel.
Right.
You get ripped off regardless of what time your plane arrives, because mm-hmm. your first day there, they don't even let you check in till 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So your whole first day is screwed.
Right.
And the last day, when you really need a.
Well, see, you were kind of like laying on the your air. Arrival time, you know, which is
well,
not,
no.
I mean, if you're indicting hotels for the 4 o'clock check-in.
Let me say that because we knew that we were going to be arriving in Miami at about 1 o'clock. Our friend Carol, our travel agent, she had arranged for an early check-in,
right?
Meaning that we could check in at 2 o'clock as opposed to 4 o'clock
right.
at this hotel. So we arrived at the hotel at 2 o'clock, and they said, "Oh yes, source party of three, right? Early check-in." Your room's not ready yet.
Yeah, they love to do that.
We said, okay, and then this pisses me off.
And you had a sick kid who probably could use, you know, a little lie-down time.
He said, what we would like to offer to you is perhaps you would like to go into the bathroom, change out of the clothes that you're in,
mm-hmm.
have to put some shorts on,
right.
put some delightful pastel-colored clothing on.
Feel free to use our public restroom.
Yeah, go into the bathroom, and then what you do is bring the bags back out here,
mm-hmm.
and we will tag them, and then come back in a couple of hours when your room is ready.
Yeah, they have a little luggage room.
And we'll send your luggage up, okay? I'll leave it. Right there.
Oh, something happened.
I'm going to leave it right.
Something horrible happened.
I mean, you know, in the big scheme, no, but in the small scheme,
okay.
Yes, yeah. something did happen.
And then there's lots more information, too,
and,
right?
And I'm going to wind it up with what you've been waiting for.
Good.
Okay? All right.
I have been waiting for that.
So stay there. We will be right back.
Everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
And this time, we're calling a pet store. And I'm going to disguise my voice and attempt to purchase 10 parakeets. Let's see what happens.
House of Pets.
Do you sell parakeets there?
Yes, we do.
Excuse me. How many do you have?
I think we have 7 or 8 at the present time.
Well, I'm going to need 10.
Well, we have another store in the area, and I'm sure we could get two more from them.
I see. In other words, you'd have to go to another store, then, huh?
Yes, we would.
Okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you later.
All right. Thank you.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WKFN, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right on.
Where is it? Gone. What happened? Dunno. They're good. Don and Mike.
Great to be back. Thank you for listening, everybody. All right, here's the... So we check into the hotel. They say, don't worry, change your clothes in the public restroom. We'll get your bags to you. We go back a couple hours later. We change in the public restroom. We go back a couple hours later. They give us the keys to the room. We go up to the room, and there are two bags that are there, my bag and Frida's bag. We call down to the front desk, and we say, you're missing my kid's bag, his piece of luggage, which was checked in with ours. They go, okay, no problem, we'll look for it. So we go through the next three or four hours, and then we realize that, the meds for my kid, they're in his bag.
Oh, man, no.
So, you know, when he's on like this, whatever the antibiotics, and you've got to take like three of them over 3 weeks. You can't stop taking them. So we call down to the manager at the front desk, and we say, you lost my kid's bag. He said, well, no, that's impossible.
Right.
No, it's not impossible.
That's impossible, sir.
That's not impossible.
I'm sorry. It's impossible. That couldn't happen at our hotel.
That's impossible. So we spent our first night in Miami waiting for a doctor to, because we couldn't get a hold of the doctor back at home, waiting for a doctor to come by and take a look at my kid and make sure that he was sick, and then have that doctor prescribe whatever the antibiotics were that the other doctor had prescribed.
Right.
And go to a Walgreens and do all this crap. And anyway, we missed a reservation at some restaurant my wife wanted to go to, and it was a crappy night. We were just sitting around, my kid's sick, and when they lost his bag, and at this point, my son was actually excited because he thought, hey, they lost my bag. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
That means I'm going to get
a new wardrobe.
New clothes, right?
Oh, yeah.
So once we got the stuff with the medication worked out, which was about 9 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
we were all cool. We're thinking, all right, you know what? We're going to go the next day. We're going to go out to a store that he likes, some like Urban Outfitters, and buy him some clothes and buy him a bag to bring his stuff back home with. Next morning, 9 a.m., phone rings in the room. Hello? Yes. Hello? Did you lose a bag? I said, no, I didn't lose a bag. The hotel lost a bag. We're bringing it up to your room right now.
So it's been sitting in somebody else's room all night.
It had been in room 701. All night long. We were on a different floor. And the guy brings the bag up, and immediately my kid's face is crestfallen because he realizes now that he's not going to get new clothes.
No. Right.
He's going to have to wear the clothes that he's packed. And I'm pissed because we went through all this stuff to get my kid's antibiotics and
right.
the night before. And the bag had just been in someone's room. So the guy gives me the bag. I go, thanks. And the door shuts. And then my wife starts yelling at me because I didn't tip the guy. Right? She says, how much did you give that guy? And I said, nothing. And she said, no, you got to give him a couple of bucks.
Nah.
I said, no.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Not on the lost bag. No. They screwed they lost, up. He doesn't get a tip.
They lost the bag. So now...
Might not be the guy's fault that brought you your bag. I mean, you might make an argument for that, but no, it doesn't count.
Can't reward.
This is a lost bag. The reward doesn't happen this time.
Now everything is golden. Now everything is fine. We rent these little, not mopeds, but the little scooters.
Scooters?
We're renting scooters, riding around. My
they make those in Mobile, you know.
We're riding around. We're enjoying that. We see an ad. Now, this, I can't take credit for this. I got to give my...
Oh, Scooter from Mobile.
Sorry.
I'm sorry
about that.
Sorry.
Late to the party.
I understand. That's okay.
We are driving around, and I will give my son credit for this. He remembers this. He remembers this from Daddy Day, Daughter Day. Do you remember the place that Larry King liked to take his daughter in Daddy Day, Daughter Day?
He likes to take her to Burger King.
No?
I know.
Do you remember?
Is it the Monkey Jungle?
Monkey World.
Wow. Monkey World.
We see a sign for Monkey World.
Monkey World. Hey, I love you. And you love monkeys, too.
Oh, no, we don't go. We end up not right. going because we're only going to be in Miami for 2 days.
Right.
But my son and I, then, for the rest of the day, we're driving my wife crazy because we are doing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
The entire Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Daddy takes me to a Monkey World.
Monkey World.
And as you remember, one of the monkeys, I think, got upset and started
right.
rattling the cage.
Absolutely.
And Kaya ran away. So we had a big...
Little did I know when I was making fun of that I'd be living it in a few months.
we had a big laugh about that. And then my son and I, while we were driving around Miami on those little scooters... we were discussing his birthday, which is coming up this weekend. He'll be 17 on Sunday. And he was feeling much better, obviously, by the fact that we were out doing stuff. And I was saying to him that, frankly, I don't know what to get him. I don't know. I know he doesn't want me to buy him clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He's to that age. He's 17 now. I'm not going to buy him a friggin' car.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's just a kid. So we're going past a tattoo parlor. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we both got tattoos?
Wow.
I said, for a birthday present, you get a tattoo and I get a tattoo. And as you know, my wife already has a tattoo. She has a small tattoo on her ass.
Right.
With a double X signifying the 20 years we've been married.
Right.
And my name. So we went into this tattoo parlor. And I made sure that this one was accredited, that they had all of the proper stuff, you know, like...
All the degrees on the wall?
Well, no, they got the thing saying that they changed the needles because, you know, hey, hello, you can get, you know...
Yeah, I know you can. That's what I'm saying.
You can get the high five from that, okay?
Right. I mean, it's all by degree.
King Henry V, you can
sure.
get the hippie from this.
And hepatitis and things
right.
like that.
Right, so they've got everything under control, and we start looking through the book. And I say to him, you know, we should get matching tattoos. And he doesn't want any part of that. He wants
his own thing.
Individual tattoos. And I will say, to my son's credit, he chose a Chinese sign. I was very proud of this, the fact that he chose a Chinese sign that signifies family.
Okay.
Which I thought was wonderful, and he had it put right on his ankle.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Which is a popular spot.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking through the book, and I'm thinking, well, I could get double X and put Frida's name.
Right.
But I want the tattoo to show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want it somewhere where it's going to be seen. And frankly, I love my wife, and I love the fact that she did that for me. But I was intrigued by the Batman bat.
Of course.
And,
is that what you did?
That's what I did.
You got a tattoo of Batman?
Of the bat. Now,
the bat symbol, where did you put it?
I'll show you in a second. Now, I didn't get this one. The one that actually...
No, that'd be tacky.
The one that actually says Batman on it.
Right.
But I did get the bat.
You got the bat? All right, can we guess where you have it?
Yeah.
Just above your pubic bone.
Incorrect. Buzz.
Yeah, your shoulder, I would think. You know, your upper arm.
Winner. Not on my bicep, on my upper shoulder. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Here we go. He is taking his shirt off now.
His white shirt that shows off his Florida tan.
Everybody's coming in to look. Don, why don't we get... Do you want to get the rest of the staff in here?
No. No, I don't, Mike.
All right.
However... You can get the camera in here if you want to take a picture of it, put it on the website. This is maybe.
You can leave your shoes on.
I gotta, this is like what they do. You got to take the shirt off, isn't that right? All right.
There it is.
There it is. Yes,
huh? It is. Hey, tough looking. Man, oh, man.
And I tell you, it hurt like a son of a bitch. That's not a tiny tattoo.
You have the Batman bat on your shoulder.
That was my wife's complaint. Well, what, Robbie?
It's about 10 inches across.
No,
it's like,
no,
it was not 10 inches. It was a joke.
Cross.
I thought you were being serious.
No, it's like 2 inches, I think.
How big do you think it is?
It's about an inch and a half by a half an inch wide.
It's much,
I mean, tall.
It's much bigger than my wife had envisioned. When I got home from the tattoo parlor.
Right. Looks like it's healed up nicely.
Oh, yeah. Very nicely. It scabbed a bit at first.
Sure.
The nice senorita told me that it would, itch and perhaps flake for a couple of days. I got an ointment cream to put on it.
Okay. That's very cool.
But, it's right on the top of my shoulder. And when I got
do you
home.
Do you think you're going to get addicted to it now?
No.
Do you think like you're going to have a whole sleeve?
No.
Done?
No.
Did it hurt like hell during the process?
Yeah. Yeah, because as you can see, it's not just the outline. I had to actually color in the entire bat.
Oh, Hank, you got a tattoo.
There it is. And
do you feel young and hip now?
No, I feel
Have you looked at it at all? It does not look foolish. I'm surprised. Maybe because it's black and it it's in a good spot.
Where it is, it's right at the very top of my shoulder. Not on my shoulder, but on my arm.
Right.
Right at the top of my shoulder. So
you can, wear a...
I can wear a T-shirt.
You can wear a T-shirt, nobody's going to know.
Nobody can see it.
That's a smart location for the
tattoo. If I wear a tank top, and trust me, you'll want a camera if I wear a tank top. Ain't going to happen. Only if I take my shirt off.
It's kind of cool looking.
Will you see it? Well,
and I know you love Batman.
I tried to sell my wife on this concept when I got home. I said, I've got some constants in my life. I love my family, but I'm not going to get the Chinese thing like my kid got.
Right.
He
didn't want that.
And he didn't want that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a thing on my arm that says XX Frida.
Right.
If I'm going to get a tattoo, no offense to my wife, who I love more than anything, but I'm going to get a Batman.
Were there any other tattoos you were leaning towards? Anything like the big thing, I think it's called characters, Chinese characters
right.
now.
That's right.
Where they have this thing, and those are interesting.
No, I was Batman all the way. It was the choices in my mind were either Batman,
right?
Perhaps the G for the Green Bay Packers,
really?
The Packers logo,
right?
Of course, the full size picture of Vince Lombardi, which would have been much too large.
They have that?
No, they didn't have that.
Yeah, they do. I bet they do in a tattoo parlor.
But they could have.
Right.
It was either just the plain drawn in bat, or I could have gone with this one like from the TV show where it actually
they
said,
had that one too,
yeah,
Batman,
where it said that's Batman.
That's much more manly.
Someone bring the camera in while I've got my shirt half off.
Very
here.
Simple.
Let's do it, and so that's the tattoo.
So that was your moment of craziness.
That was it. It was nutty.
Very cool. Because they have a lot of temporary tattoos down there also.
No, this is a real one. And when I came back to the hotel, I said, hey, listen, honey, I got Bart a birthday present. She said, what? I said, let him get a tattoo. And he showed her, and now his is, very nice. And she said, what does that mean? He said, family. And she was like, oh, that's fantastic. He said, Dad got one, too.
How'd she react to the Batman?
Not well. She was not pleased.
What did that cost?
$75.
For both of them or each?
Each.
That's
each.
Not bad.
Uh-huh. $75 each.
If you're going to scar yourself for life,
might
as well drop a lot of cash. Might as well be able to get it under $100.
So your wife got one for you, and your son got one for the family, and you got Batman.
And I got Batman.
Nice.
It does. No, listen, that's pretty much what she said.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's
I was
pretty
just
much what
still
she
thinking
said.
About her reaction.
She said, why did you get Batman? I said, because since I was a little kid, I love Batman.
Right.
I said,
hey, what is it? It's a tattoo. It's something that's fun.
Right.
I mean, I think people, by and large, get tattoos. You can analyze it as much you want. Yes, there's significance, but when you're doing that, it's like buying a piece of jewelry. You're ornamenting yourself. So, I mean, it is fun, first and foremost, and that's Batman's fun.
And I like it. Now, the other options I had were, like I said, the Batman that has the name Batman, or I could have gotten Batman's face.
Right.
Or actually, I could have had a little
Batman swinging from a rope.
That'd be horrible.
But I thought that would, you know,
you did the right thing.
That would look like
that's a cool logo anyway. Kind of a, you know, it's kind of dark. It's kind of exciting.
The only thing that they talked me out of was I wanted a circle around
the oval from your TV show.
And circle doesn't work. I mean, in that location.
And the lady, the I'm sure illegal alien who did this to me, said no circle, no circle.
You know, with what I've been going through over the last couple of months, I've actually given some thought to a tattoo also, a very unique design, kind of a simple design.
Yeah, of what?
A horseshoe.
Because
that's how I'm feeling.
Turn the lights up here. Let's get a picture.
All right, very
can we get
good.
This on WNEW.com?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, have him looking over his shoulder. Get his face in it. Provocatively. Maybe you ought to stick your tongue out like Gene Simmons. There you go.
Stop it. Just take the picture. Just take the freaking picture.
Lisa, do you have any tattoos?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Let me see. Can I see?
We've never... Has that ever been on the show? We've never had that on the show.
Where are your tattoos at?
I have one right here.
Oh. You have one more? Where?
Right by her pooter.
Right? Not really. Kind of like on my upper thigh right here.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What is it of?
Within spinning distance of her pooter.
A butterfly?
Really?
Oh, let me see.
Really? Rob, do you have any?
No, just my eye makeup.
Lisa, did you say you had two or one?
Just one.
Just one.
I have my eye makeup tattooed on.
All right, well, Rob, when are we getting ours?
We're not.
Well, there you go.
I've been thinking about doing it.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Seriously.
I might do it.
Yeah, put that. Send that right out to the fans.
Okay.
What are you going to get?
Get right there, right on the
Red Sox logo.
The two socks? The red, the socks?
Yeah, maybe the socks.
So,
that'd be good.
So here's the, here's the last bit of
I'm not really thinking clearly lately.
I feel good on your chest.
Okay, turn the lights back down now. Turn the lights back down. Here's the light.
Hey, Lisa, is that tattoo that you have in such a provocative spot where you wouldn't be able to show it?
Well, I mean, I would have to take my pants off and you would see.
So once again, I ask my question.
Whatever.
Is that in such a provocative, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you just wear shorts in tomorrow?
If you wore, like, shorts, could you hike the shorts up and show it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Can you that sometime?
Sometime.
Today.
Okay, good.
All right, so put that on WNEW.com, please. Everybody check out my macho tattoo.
You know, you've motivated. I know Buzz and I are probably on the same wavelength right now. It's kind of like you've broken the ice.
Yeah, thank you.
The redneck tattoo. The last item I have for you from the vacation is we are flying back. My wife, incidentally, by the second day, was cool with the Batman thing.
You know what?
She's used to it now.
I mean, I think it is kind of a cool tattoo.
She's used to it.
Tattoos are like everybody's getting them now, so, you know.
And the place where it is.
I mean, I'm very anti-tattoo when I think of my kids, but, you know, it's just, now everybody gets them. So.
I let my kid get one.
What the hell?
I just want to make sure. I have to make sure with him that he doesn't get addicted, that immediately he wanted another one right away. You know, but the good thing
they say it's like plastic surgery where you can get addicted to it. You can get addicted to tattoos, and, you know, that's
At least down in Miami, he couldn't do it by himself. You had to be 18, and I had to sign all the waivers and had to show the ID, but certainly a fake ID could be purchased anywhere.
I think I'm thinking about maybe getting a necklace tattooed on. You know, like a choker?
Yeah.
Barbed wire.
The last thing I'll tell you from vacation is we are on the plane coming back from Miami, coming back to D.C.
Right, now that you have that tattooed, were you feeling did you feel like macho?
No, I'm the
same. Did you walk around with your shirt off after you had the tattoo?
I did not. I did not.
You didn't show it off?
As a matter of fact, because I had it done and we had one more day in Miami, and she said, don't go in the direct sun.
Yeah.
So when I sat down by the pool, I put a washcloth over it so no one saw it.
Okay.
So, no, sorry about that. We're on the plane on the way back, and the plane's taking forever to take off because they're so backed up in Miami, and finally the plane takes off, and I got to pee like a racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they put up the you know, you can move around the cabin thing, I get up and I go back to the bathroom. Now, there are two bathrooms, and I arrive back there, and I'm waiting, and now I'm watching on my clock on my wrist, my watch, that both bathrooms have been occupied by people for 7 minutes. I've been waiting for 7 minutes. All I got to do is pee.
As you said so eloquently before, they're probably dropping a deuce.
So I'm waiting for 7 minutes. Neither door is opening. At this point, a woman comes up, swear to Christ, and she's...
Oh, God.
She has puke around the corners of her mouth.
What
she's doing is...
God.
She has her hand over her mouth.
Oh.
What she's doing is she's holding back...
You can't hold that back if it's coming up.
The puke. So I go to the stew, to the waitress, and I say, hey, you know, this lady back here is sick. She's about to puke.
She's going
to
yakety yak.
She's about to puke. So the waitress, the stewardess, she doesn't have a puke bag, so she pulls out a giant plastic bag, a see-through bag. And the woman...
Oh, see-through. I'm ready to barf already just hearing about it.
And the woman then holds it up to her mouth and... Now, I got a gag reflex that will kill a gag reflex.
Right.
And I have to turn around.
I think you're normal.
While this is happening. While the woman... Then what she does is she gives the bag of puke back to the waitress, to the stewardess.
Thank you.
And
now she's, thank you.
She's standing there, and she still is like, it might come up.
Is she air sick, or is she maybe loaded?
She says to me she had shellfish the night before, and that she's sick. Both doors are still occupied. Now we've been there 10 minutes. So what I do is
I'd like to know what lard asses are in the bathroom.
I go to the door, and... I give it the old knock around. I go, hey, there's a sick lady out here. I hear from inside, okay, I'll be right out. We hear the flush. The guy opens the door, and I mean a world of stink. The guy was in there delivering birth to the world's largest feces. And the woman...
Is he a man of larger carriage?
No, he's a normal-sized guy. Looked like Seth Green.
It's always that way.
It's a grosser guy. The woman, when the door opens and the wafting smell of this guy's fecal matter comes out, she again can't control it.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she goes... And she now goes running in the bathroom. Because not only is she puking now because of the shellfish, she's now puking from the smell.
Have you lost your urge to go number one at this point?
No. I still have to go like crazy.
Wow.
Meanwhile, while this has been happening, the other one, the person's left the bathroom.
Right.
Someone else is in there now.
Somebody snuck by.
So now I'm standing and I'm just pacing. The woman gets done puking. She opens the door. She goes, thank you for helping me. Thank you for letting me go first. You know, you're a very nice man. Thank you. And she opens the door. And I go in and shut the door. And I realize that I am standing where the Seth Green kid has just taken a monstrous dump. Of which, incidentally, the fumes are still in the room.
Oh, God.
Mixed with the smells of the upchuck.
Happy pee time.
And I had a good one. I had a good old-fashioned number one.
Like, oh, man.
And that was it. That was my vacation. That was it.
Yeah, you know, on vacation, I did discover something as far as... This is public restroom knowledge.
Yes.
What? If you've got a giant Duke, and you need, you know, you're looking for the biggest quality, if you can find a shopping mall that has a Neiman Marcus in it, go to the Neiman Marcus. I thought it might be the case. Private door. Private, like, bathroom. You go and you shut a door within... It's a bathroom within the bathroom that you actually can walk in, shut the door, and I was, like you were saying, I was in there for probably 15, 20 minutes.
I know we got a break, Robbie, but we have, from One Life to Live, our friend Tim Stickney on the phone.
Othello! Hey. Othello is on the line!
Hey, Tim!
Oh, hello!
Hey, hold on. What's up, man?
Well, I'm riding along, listening to you boys, and I hear the tattoo talk.
Yeah.
My first cat was a bat.
Hey, there you go.
Keep telling you.
Last night, on my ankle, got it in Toronto.
How many tats do you have?
Well, I guess three.
Three?
Very cool.
Yeah. But your first was a bat as well.
Yeah, the bat, when he changed the symbol back to like a classic bat in the 80s.
Right.
It was still illegal in New York, but I was doing a movie in Toronto. So when I was flying up and down, I found a guy... who had a great hand for a detail, and he could put the first one on me with the yellow and everything, but I'm too dark. It didn't show.
Oh, gotcha. That is so cool. Another thing you share with Timothy Sticknell.
Yes.
It's weird, man. I don't know.
It's the John Madden NFL game.
Yes.
It is the tattoo of the bat, and it is Don, your love of Shakespeare.
That's early part company. All right. Hey, Tim, we'll see you in New York in a couple of weeks. We got a break.
Absolutely.
And listen, tell that guy who plays... Who's the guy who plays Vicky?
Benjamin?
Vicky's boyfriend on One Life to Live?
Ben Davis.
Yeah. Tell him he's the world's biggest liar. That I logged a little time with One Life to Live. There's no way that doing a love scene with her could be erotic. There is no way.
We got to bowl you guys again, Tim.
Absolutely. I've already been asked when that's going to happen.
Excellent.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Tim.
Okay, welcome back, gentlemen. All right, Don, glad you're not dead.
Thank you, Tim.
What a relief.
Tim Stickney, he plays RJ on One Life to Live.
Yeah, the villain. He's the bad guy on One Life to Live.
And Vicky is going through a multiple personality stage right now.
Oh, they're doing that again?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yes, please. You know, and this guy that we bowled with, the guy who plays her boyfriend on the show.
The character, I think, is it Ben Davidson?
That's his name. You know, we said to the guy, it must be the grossest thing in the world to have to, like, get into bed and pretend that you're attracted to this... monster, Erica Slezak.
Monster.
looks like Chris Matthews from Hardball with a wig on. and he said, oh, no, man. I'm going to tell you, she's sensuous. It's getting in bed with her. It's really, it's a turn on. And
two other guys said that. The guy that played, like, the district attorney. He said the same thing, too.
Yeah, they're all freaking liars.
She's the star.
I logged a little time with that show. P.U. Okay, that's it. That's my vacation. Now, Mike. You're up next with your stories from Florida.
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 Baseball.
Yes.
Golf.
Yes.
Fishing.
Yes.
And the greatest bar that I've ever been to.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right. I can't shoot it! Here it comes! Hey, shake it, shake it, shake it!
Filthy whore. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. A brief bumper. Just brief. The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, tomorrow on the show, the return you've asked for, the return of the Don and Mike Newsmaker of the Week. Yay. That's coming back tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the brand new low-budget Jeff RD.
All right.
Stossel. Leah Remini, TV star Leah Remini, will be joining us tomorrow to yell about something.
Excellent.
And a mystery guest. We've got like five or six excellent mystery guests coming up.
I love the mystery guests on this show.
And very rarely do we have bands in to perform, but I'm proud to tell you that coming soon, doing a live performance. That's right. Poison!
Yeah!
We're actually going to have Poison on the show.
Poison!
Wow. That's very cool. Are they going to come in and play?
Or maybe just Brett Michaels and his guitar coming into play.
Oh, that's good enough.
Yeah, but, you know, who doesn't love Poison?
Right.
Talk Dirty to Me. I love that song. I like Unskinny Bop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, see, great. There was one more. What's the other? They had one
there
more.
Was that one dumb one that I hated. Every rose has its thorn. Yuck. But they had some good stuff.
Right.
The good hair band.
One of the you know, mid-80s bands,
and
right?
Listen, one of the best behind the musics ever.
I never saw the Poison behind the
music. We could spend an hour with Brett Michaels.
Better than
about
Journey?
Much better than Journey.
Wow. Really?
Much better than Journey.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Better than Oasis?
Is anything? No.
Nothing's better than Oasis. Those two twins arguing.
Except the Osbournes this week. Did you see it?
No, I didn't get a chance to see the Osbournes. I watched it last week for the very first time.
Did you like it?
I did. I didn't love it. I liked it.
Which one was it last week?
The one where they're talking about getting a cat. Where she's talking about getting a cat, and
did you see the one where she's dressing him to go to a record signing?
No.
That's a good one.
Really?
Yeah.
He is
What is he, man? I mean, it's either
he's the
a
greatest,
series of strokes
the
or...
The greatest TV star of the year 2002.
It's truly amazing. I mean, the man is... it's amazing he can get out of bed in the morning.
Very toasty.
Okay, so anyway... your vacation, your time in Florida.
My vacation, you know, I had a very good time. I went down with a buddy of mine to play in a golf tournament down in Florida. And that was the good part. And the good part was that we played a lot of golf, very intense golf schedule. We are down there with the people that are, they call them the snowbirds that live down there, and then they come back during the summer. And so we were kind of out of our element. I hadn't really picked up a golf club since December. So we finished in the middle of the pack in this tournament. I was very happy with that. And everything was fine. In the interim, we discovered this place that I will tell you about. I've mentioned it many times on the show because I had such a great time there. But
you mentioned it to me on the telephone.
I did.
About 10,000 times.
The VIP club. And it was and my friend, Mr. Tom Watson, who owns the place. I normally don't give plugs on this show, but I just had such a great time. I wasn't in there once. I wasn't in there a second night. I wasn't in there a third night. I wasn't in there a fourth night. I believe I logged 5 nights in this place.
Mike, as you told me, when you walk into the VIP club...
You feel like a VIP.
That's the thing. And where is this place in Florida?
It's... right off of Highway 41. It's actually South Fort Myers, south of Fort Myers.
Okay,
and kind of a, you know, that's coming later because I wrap up my... I had a great time with my buddy, but when he left, as I dropped him off on Sunday, and when he left, I had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday where I was going to be coming back on Wednesday night. That's when the whole alone
thing. Oh, you jerk.
I knew you were going to play something else. No, God, why? Why? You know, I'm really hoping that before the summer starts that we don't have to play this music.
Oh,
not that I'll
won't.
Be with somebody, but that I'll just be out of this.
Do you want us to knock it off?
No. I mean, it's funny because it's true.
You're going to say...
I'm in that period.
You were going to say for these 3 days you were by yourself.
I was by myself. And when I dropped him off at the airport...
It bothers you. I won't play it.
No, it doesn't. It's too funny to bother me. But it really, I was fine realizing that I was basically on vacation by myself until I dropped my buddy off who I'd played golf with, my buddy Randall. And it was one of those situations where that's when it just came. I mean, crashing in on me.
Keep this going just for 5 more seconds.
I know, I have to talk it up a little bit. But I am talking about, you know, saying, hey, see you later, we had a great time. And I walk back into the house and I realize that I was. Jack and Psyche, too. And it just, every single fiber of my being went into this whole bummer thing about what I was going through. I felt like total S because it just, you know, I mean, it really sucked. It was really, really bad. And, you know, I had lots of conversations with my wife, you know, very, very, very depressing conversations. And, you know, when you go through this, that's just the way it is. Is it amicable? Yes. Is it friendly? Yes. You know, are the kids, you know, upset about this? They're young enough where they're not affected by it because it hasn't, you know, we haven't, you know, dealt with that part of it yet.
Right.
And they're blissfully ignorant of what's going on. And so, but it just, it was terrible. So the only thing that I figured that I would do was just to get into my diversions as much as possible. So I got, drop him off Sunday night, came back. I hung out on Sunday night. I cleaned up the place a little bit. Then I went out on Monday and just, I would wake up in the morning thinking, what should I do just to deal with this? And the first thing I did on Monday was I drove down to the beach and drove down to the marina, the marina, and saw that there was this fishing trip. And so I drive down and they say, deep sea fishing. I said, man, that's a whole day. I'm out on a boat with people. It'll be perfect for me. I get up to this pier and they say, oh, it's 9:05. The boat just left. So this is like when I'm starting to, you know, I'm teetering at this point because I'm going, the boat just left. Story of my life. Because we have another boat that's just over the causeway, though, and you should be able to make that boat. So what is he grabbing? No, what is he grabbing
right now?
We're
getting ready. We're just getting ready. Okay.
So it was fine, and I got over the causeway. I hop on my fishing boat. It was chock full of old people.
Hi.
And went out there, and it's 9:30 until 4:30 in the afternoon. We went out at 9:30. We didn't get back till about 4:45.
Great all-day diversion for you.
All-day diversion. Talking to, you know, guys that were in WW2. You know, talking to Canadians. Americans, looking at the Germans, who really, you know, please, yeah, I don't think I'm being out of line here when I say, please, don't vacation in our country.
Uh-huh.
Please don't. I mean, stay away. You just can't help but, you know, be, and you can't just, with their coolers and eating their Wurst sandwiches and taking their shirts off too early in the trip with their peeling shoulders. I just want to say, on behalf of the United States of America and all the people that served in World War II, F you. You know, go vacation in your own country. That's just my own opinion. So I'm standing next to these old people. And it's
you bet, Rob.
Now what? Now, Rob, you say never forget, correct?
Right.
It's never forget.
I don't know how to deal with that.
You're not going to support the Germans
that
were on this boat.
It's the queer duality of Rob Spiewak when it comes to Germany.
I understand.
I think they...
You're feeling sympathy for them, aren't you? You bastard.
No.
You're feeling sympathy for the Germans that I'm making fun of.
Yeah, they open their arms. When I go to Germany, they open their arms to me.
Maybe my hypersensitivity is due to the fact that I was solo flying on this little fishing trip. But I don't like any human beings in packs. Any human beings of over, when they're in groups over two and there aren't children around, if they're like five or six of them, it begins to be trouble.
They should at least speak English.
Let me just say, I agree with you there, that you get five Germans together,
right? Oh my God.
Trouble.
So I went up on the
bad's doing.
Trouble.
They're getting ready to attack.
So the only way, I get away from the Germans and the old people, and I said, yeah, they're getting ready to attack us.
Exactly.
And I go up on the flybridge to talk to the captain.
Same with the Japs.
Especially them.
No groups.
You get four or five of them together, man.
Yeah, but you know,
watch it.
You'll never see it coming.
I'm even saying golfers. You know, American golfers get together. People that are in groups of more than four, they can become troublesome.
Not like the crowds in the Jap.
I could take you down to Myrtle Beach and see the group of 12 guys getting out of the minivan. Hey!
Like
farting, burping.
I'd like to see their lineage.
So I go up on the flybridge and I'm talking to Mon Capitan. And I think the captain, because I really just am asking him questions. And he's like sitting there with his feet up and he's got it on autopilot. He basically drives out of the harbor, goes straight out into the Gulf of Mexico, and that's his job every day. We catch a few fish and we turn around, but I'm asking him all the questions. I'm like, what are these lobster pots? And he said, those are probably for stone crabs. And then I said, what do you get out here normally? And at that point he went, I don't know. And I went, okay. And I just turned around and walked away because he was obviously bored. But, you know, at this point, I'm starving for conversation, so I'm talking to everybody. I talked to the guys from Toronto, Canada. I talked to the elderly gentlemen that were... I talked to an old man from Cleveland. I talked to a couple from Michigan. And had a perfectly good time. And then, unfortunately, Don, at about 4:45, the boat had to come back in, and I had to take my fish back to my house.
So you caught a fish, though.
I caught lots of fish.
Wow.
Caught red snapper. I caught red snapper, and I caught a trigger fish, the ones that have little sharp mouths.
Here, Lisa's got a red snapper.
Is that before or after the tattoo?
Fiery red snapper.
So then I went back home, and I was going to go out. I was actually going to go out and see my friends at the bar, but I didn't. I was too tired. So I cooked my fish, and I stayed home. Then the next day, I was looking for the other diversion, and it was either going to be go out and play golf or go see, and I went to see my beloved team, the Boston Red Sox. And I'm here to report after two spring training games that I witnessed, I am not optimistic about my bet.
Oh, no. That you're going to have to get the earring.
You know what it is. It's baseball in spring training. Hope springs eternal, even for Red Sox fans. But I will tell you, I do not like the makeup of this team. I don't like the look of this team. I think this team's going to be trouble. Now, last year, I predicted in February that the Red Sox were going to go to the World Series. This year, I have predicted that they're going to go to the postseason. I don't think that their pitching is going to carry them this year. I am very, very worried. I got a chance to see the great man, Pedro Martinez, pitch. He did not look good. He got rocked. He got shelled. So that's where I am.
See?
But then, finally, the last night, this was not Tuesday. Tuesday night, I stayed home again. I was just all by myself.
Oops. You know, I don't know.
The jingle.
In the wrong
All by myself in the apartment. And after two lonely nights, you know, with my buddy out of town, I got a call from the owner of this VIP club. Because he was in the process of trying to locate a particular brand of hooch for me. You know that Jameson stuff?
Yeah.
The Jameson's Gold?
Yeah.
Which is, like, worth its weight in gold?
Yeah.
He located it for me. He said, well, you know, He said, "Why? You know, I could sell.
Had you gone into this place and asked for it?
We had been in. My buddy and I had been in three or four times. Like, I forgot whether it was three or four. It was either the fourth or fifth time when it. So he said, "So I can ship it to you, or you could come down tonight and pick it up." And I said, "Well, I saw in the newspaper that you have your Elvis impersonator tonight. I'll be right down." So, you know, for a moment, I really wasn't.
Because you're with other people. You're at a bar.
Went to a bar.
With the Elvis impersonator.
Hanging out with the owner. And then the owner listens, is aware of the show. I don't know if he's a big listener. But the Elvis impersonator, big fan of the show. So at one point, I'm sitting there, and, you know, the owner's there, and he's, you know, we're having some hooch, drinking a few cocktails, having a fantastic time. And the Elvis show is highly entertaining. We're talking about all the good stuff that Elvis does, like this. This kind of intro when he comes on stage. The smoke machines. And he comes out in the leather jumpsuit, and he does his little shtick. And then the kid's like, I'd say he's not out of his 20s yet.
Is he ever the fat, bloated, purple Elvis?
I asked about that. He wore the jumpsuit, but he doesn't do the fat, bloated, purple Elvis. He does the comeback Elvis in the yellow jumpsuit, and they play all this stuff, you know, and he does all the moves. And then he came back, and the owner introduced me to him, and then I find out he's a fan of the show. So at one point in the fabulous VIP club in Fort Myers, Florida.
Why are you plugging this place so much?
Because the man was so nice to me. Tom's a good friend, and we had a very nice conversation, and I love this place. I mean, this is the Uber bar. You walk in, you got this huge stage. The first night we were there, they had an all-girl band. An all-girl band playing.
Wow.
And sure, they were lip-syncing some, but I'll tell you right now, they were incredible. It was highly entertaining. Live music, 7 nights a week. Because shows like this, the one show I didn't go to was a show that Matt Farber would have probably, our former program director.
What was that?
The tribute to Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
The Neil Diamond show. I passed on that one. That's not the one that I went to see. But at the very, towards the end of the evening after the show's over, there I am sitting there with my favorite glass of hooch, having a nice conversation with Elvis Aaron Presley. And it was, you know, my vacation ended that way, and all of my experiences, really, although I was very depressed about my current situation, were very positive. It was an excellent vacation. It was a great way to get away and escape and all.
Tell them what you told me about loading in your trunk.
You mean the booze?
Two cases.
Yeah, I got two cases of hooch. There's one little sidelight.
Two cases of Jameson's whiskey.
I forgot that at the end, the story with this is I got this stuff in the trunk of my car, and then the next day I wake up, I'm awakened by you know, the toddler who gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning even when he's on vacation. You caught me, man. Did I sound awake when you talked to me?
I called you. I called you at 7, not at 6. 7:30.
Well, so you get up at 6 o'clock. Yeah. What time do you get up? 4:45. What time do you get up now?
I get up at 6 o'clock every morning.
Get up at 6 o'clock, no matter where you are. And you caught me, and you know, I might have tried to sound perky, but you got me where I was just. I mean, hello, hello. Hey, how you doing? And then I turn into, hey, hi, how are you? What's going on here? How's it going? Ah, no, I was out last night at my favorite bar.
I am still.
Let me tell you, at that time of the morning, I was still probably feeling the effects of the night before.
Still drunk?
Yeah. I was really just going, hey, how you doing? So I did tell you about my two cases of hooch that I got.
I went to the greatest VIP.
It's fantastic. And I was very excited. I was still there, really, in spirit.
At 7:30 the next morning.
So I got to drive all the way up to Tampa Airport from Fort Myers. So it's about a 2.5-hour drive. I've got this stuff, and the only thing I haven't figured out is how I'm going to get this stuff away. I mean, am I going to ship it, go to, like, a mailboxes, et cetera, or am I going to go to the post office? Well, Tampa Airport's got a post office right next to it, so I go into the post office, which is basically, buenos dias. It was a line of 750 people waiting to mail one letter. So I really don't have time to do this. So I end up I said, I'm going to check the booze with my luggage. I'm just going to take the two cases of booze, have them. Rob, it was my only option. And thank God, you know, with curbside checkout, with the speaker coming and going, you must stay with your vehicle at all times. You must stay with your vehicle.
You checked your two bags.
Curbside checked my booze. The guy couldn't have been nicer. I lit him up a little bit, you know, gave him a $5 bill to put the Fragile sign on the side of the booze. And then I'm thinking the whole time, God, you know, not that it's important to me, but I'm thinking about it on the flight. I'm saying, please, you know, baggage handlers, you rough, burly men, don't let anything happen to my hooch. And finally, I get back to Dulles Airport, and I'm standing where the little mouth hole is, where all the luggage comes out, and I'm standing next to the guy that's roughly handling all the bags and straightening them out so that the old ladies can pick them up off the little conveyor belt. And I figure I got to talk to this guy because, you know, in any moment, my little cases of booze are going to shoot out there. And if he handles it or even lets them land on the carousel the way they're landing, I might have some trouble. So he was very sympathetic to my cause. So the first one comes out and he catches it. He goes, hey, I got the first one. And I look in it and he gives me the first case of booze. The second one comes out. It gets stuck in the corner of the conveyor belt, and the guy was fantastic. I gave him a nice tip, too. He reached into the conveyor belt and pulled out my case of booze, two cases of booze, not one broken bottle.
Beautiful.
Survived the trip. I'm very happy about that. That is good news.
It's good stuff, Buzz. Yeah. You know this is very good stuff. It's not my cup of tea, but I know you love it.
It's the best. And it was just so, you know, whenever you're down there, go check them out. They're good people down there. I love living down there. I love being down there. I could spend many, many times down there.
All right.
We could move the show down there, and I would be very happy.
I'm moving the show down there.
South Florida. Come on, man. 85 degrees.
We're not moving
back
down
up here. And, you know, and the thing is, you come back here, and it's not 75, and it's not 25. It's right in that lovely middle of 45 or 50.
It's,
you know,
nice.
The where it's, you know, where we're all walking around basically in a petri dish.
Oh, come on.
We're experiencing illness. That's why everybody gets so sick around here.
Come on.
It's 70, 30, 70. You know, you go to sleep and it's 40 degrees. You wake up, it's 60 degrees. Like,
I can't cold.
Listen, doctor knows what you need. Okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be getting that for a long time.
Okay, I know you're not.
Yeah.
But
by choice.
Jacqueline's
by choice,
still on
too.
Hold.
Huh?
Is Jacqueline still on hold?
Yeah, that's what you say. The doctor knows what you need.
Yeah.
Make you feel better.
I know.
Make you feel good all over.
Make me feel good. But I did, you know, all things considered, I had a fantastic vacation. I love spring training baseball. You know how much I love baseball. I love that more than anything in the world, except for the old people that complain about the heat.
Oh,
that pisses me off big time. They're down here, they're snowbirds, and they're going, it's so hot,
bye. You are on the air.
We got a break.
Yes.
We got a break. Remind me when we come back. You're talking about all of the that we're waiting at.
Yes.
At
you were in Miami International.
At the airport there in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you about, just remind me when we come back, about the woman behind the counter in the bookstore in the Miami airport. And the conversation she had about a book that my son bought.
Really?
And we have an Easter special for you as well coming up next.
Okay. Very, very exciting.
Please, stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com with all the skinfo from the latest movies. Four new flicks hit theaters this weekend: Clockstoppers, The Rookie, Panic Room, and Death to Smoochie. And it's Death to Nudity. Not one upskirt, not one down blouse, not even a bare shoulder to cry on. How's a pervert supposed to make a living around here? Thank God for DVDs. Angelina Jolie's movie Original Sin hits the stores this week. The flick is loaded with great skin, but the high point is 18 minutes and 10 seconds in. That's when you get a great look at Angelina Jolie's while Antonio Banderas is giving her an oil change. I am very happy to report that they are finally releasing the 1994 skin classic Exit to Eden on DVD next week. There's a ton of gratuitous nudity in the movie, but my favorite scene is when former China Beach babe Dana Delaney shows some full frontal getting out of the pool, and it is wet and woolly fur burgerage. Warning, warning, Rosie O'Donnell is in a black leather bondage outfit for most of the movie, so keep the remote handy. I'm Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, fast-forwarding to the good parts.
You can call Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFN 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Back live in Baltimore. I want to say that's great.
All right. Hello there, hon.
Call us live from Baltimore, of course.
They're not just broadcasters. They're neighbors. Don and Mike.
While we were on vacation, the monthly ratings came out. Of course, Infinity Broadcasting doesn't subscribe to Arbitron. They'd rather put the money into the equipment.
Yes.
Let me just say, from what I've heard, from the numbers I've seen, the pirated from other radio stations.
Right.
Thank you in New York. Had a nice little bump on our numbers finally on WNEW.
Good, very good.
And really thank you in Washington, D.C.
Excellent.
Where you guys have always supported the show, but last month, killer month. Thank you very much.
Wow. Way to go.
Appreciate it. Nothing to report from Philadelphia yet. We've not been on long enough to be rated. However, we will be making our first trip to Philadelphia soon.
Philadelphia!
That is a warning, okay? Or as my dad used to say, that's not a threat, that's a promise.
It is a promise.
So we, listen, before we get to our Easter special here, and of course this weekend is Easter, and don't you think it's ironic that I was allegedly dead and am here today.
You're back.
And also on Sunday, it's the anniversary of another man, a famous Jew, who died and also came back.
I think someone who was tuning in and wasn't familiar with the show would think that you were comparing yourself to Jesus Christ. Oh,
okay.
I did get it right.
So, we were at the airport yesterday in Miami, and there's... We're waiting. We got a layover. We got to the airport way too early. We overreacted about the security. We had 2 hours to blow. So we went to the restaurant. We had something to eat. We go to the bookstore. By the time we get to the bookstore, it's getting to be that time. We gotta move things along.
Right.
My wife, she is just the slowest. She's the freaking slowest at picking out a book. My kid picks out a book immediately. It is a new book, a bestseller. I believe an episode of Boston Public was based on this book.
Yes.
The book, pardon me for saying it, but it's the title of the book. The book's called Nigger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a bestseller. I figure, you know, hey, my kid can handle it. He wants to read it. I'll buy it for him. So I'm standing in line, and I'm waiting while the Cuban woman behind the counter is making selling the woman in front of me a magazine. And, goddamn, she is just... She cannot shut up.
Mm-hmm.
She is just... Yeah, bah, 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 and it's all in Spanish. And it's, I just want to buy the book for my kid and buy a book for my wife and just get us on the friggin' airplane. So she finally gets done with the conversation with the woman in front of me buying the magazine. I go up and she says, "Hello, my friend." I said, "Hi, how are you doing today?" And then I swear to God, she says, just as loud as can be, she picks up the book and she goes, "Ah, Nigar. We just get this book in yesterday. It's a bestseller, huh? Nigger!"
That's not good that
now,
she's doing that.
Now, I'm standing there and I'm saying, yes, I understand it's a best-selling book. And she says, "I don't know what it is in America." She says, "In Cuba, you can call someone a nigger, they don't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, you call someone a nigger. Oh, they get very mad."
Now, is this when you just want to run out of the store?
Yeah. I mean, I'm standing there.
God almighty.
I'm just standing there, just covering my face.
Oh, no.
And she is going on with this. Everyone in America saw hung up. "It's just a word." And then she holds up the book and goes,
"Oh, God.
Sneaker.
Oh, my God.
It's just a word. But people have been buying it. You know what I find interesting? The book right next to it. He's about white men." It's the Michael Moore book.
Right.
What's the title of that book, Buzz? It's something like the stupid things white men do.
Yeah, fat, stupid white men or something.
So you have the white man book right next to the book Nigger.
You gotta be, I mean, are you ready just to say, "Lady, just shut up"?
No, I just wanted my money just get the hell out of there. So that was the experience at the Miami International Airport.
Wow. Simply too friendly.
Christ.
Wow.
And, Oh, well, okay, here we go. Here's your copy, Mike, of something that came out in the newspaper yesterday.
Yeah, we normally do this on Wednesday, but due to the fact that we weren't working yesterday, we decided we'd give it to you today.
As a matter of fact, I bought this from the same woman as I bought the book for my son and a book for my wife. Yesterday, Wednesday, of course, is the day of the We Read the Craig Wilson column from USA Today. And, well, Easter's coming up, and let's get to it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Craig Wilson. What do you got? Oh, number three. Here we go. The Final Word by Craig Wilson. My hat's off to the grand ladies who still wear them. You don't think I have to explain this, do I?
No.
Everybody knows this is an article that's in USA Today every Wednesday by the columnist Craig Wilson.
Please don't explain.
Please, please, please. Feelings of love. I didn't really know my grandmother Weaver. She died when I was five.
But through family stories and photos, I feel as if I know her as well as some of the people I grew up with. She was a short woman who made up for her small stature by wearing larger-than-life hats. In some photos, she looks a bit like a mushroom. A well-turned-out mushroom, but a mushroom nonetheless.
A teacher in a one-room schoolhouse, she was also electrocutionist back in the day. So they were actually
elocutionist.
Oh, she wasn't an executioner. Back in the day, when they were actually were people who were called elocutionists. A graduate of Emerson College, which incidentally, sidebar here, Scarlet College for retards. Really, it's a 13th grade Emerson College. I'm familiar with people who've been there. It's up in the New England area.
I got rejected from Emerson College. Oh,
sorry, Mike.
Thank you, though, for that.
Ouch. A graduate of Emerson College. She would do recitations on the stages of Chautauqua, New York.
One of my mother's most vivid childhood memories is that of standing next to my grandmother while she recited Shakespeare, shaded from the summer sun by one of her mother's many elaborate broad-brimmed hats.
Easter is Sunday. Again. It's probably a good thing that my grandmother, let alone Irving Berlin, isn't around to see what's left of the Easter parade.
Whatever happened to those hats women used to wear, but don't anymore? That is, except the Queen Mother, who still can make me smile whenever she makes her entrance.
Look at me, her jaunty hats demand. And so we do. I don't have a clue why Sophia traded such treasures for baseball caps turned backwards. Look, okay, you're the winner.
A photo.
You got the best paragraph this time.
A photo of my partner Jack's grandmother, Lizzie.
Let me start again.
A photo of my partner Jack's grandmother, Lizzie, hangs on the wall of our guest bedroom. She's sporting a most pleasant grin, and I can only think it's because she's sporting a most amazing hat. It looks like yards of Irish lace on steroids. She couldn't be any more pleased with herself if she'd won the sweepstakes.
Actually, it's not true no one wears great hats anymore. I live in a neighborhood where most of the churches have African-American congregations. And on any given Sunday, dozens of black women spill out into the street bearing hats that would make my grandmother both jealous and proud.
High hats, wide hats, hats with bows bigger than bread baskets, hats with brims so wide a flock of birds could land and lunch. And they wear them with elan, as if they've had them on all their lives.
Queer.
Which they have. I only hope they continue doing so. There are but a few other pockets of grand hat wearings left in America, I'm sad to report.
August in Saratoga breaks them out when the horsewomen from Kentucky fill the clubhouse boxes at the track. Feelings of hello matches in the Hampton, their fertile field for a few, too.
And society weddings are always good for a great hat sighting. Although Elizabeth Taylor's hat at Liza's wedding this month was a big disappointment.
What was going on there?
I was at a fancy wedding a while back. The bride's parents were from Europe, and down the aisle paraded the relatives from Portugal and Austria, each wearing a hat more amazing than the one before.
Some had brims so wide the wearers couldn't sit near anyone in the pew. And one woman was so mysterious, I never saw her face for the hat.
We never spoke. We didn't have to. Her hat said it all.
The final word by Craig Wilson.
Hey.
There he is.
That man knows a lot about girls' hats.
He sure does.
You got the best paragraph, though.
That's correct.
A photo of my partner, Jack's grandmother, Lizzie.
Grandmother Lizzie and Grandma Weaver. Very strange.
I like the part about baseball caps, too.
Yeah, backwards wearing baseball caps.
Look at me, her jaunty hats demand. That is, except the Queen Mother, who can still make me smile whenever she makes her entrance.
As a, that's the 100-year-old woman, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yes, it is.
Okay. The Queen Mother. Look at me, her jaunty hat says.
Okay.
100. But he just loves the hats, the flowers. He'd like to wear the hats. That's what this is about.
Craig Wilson.
He'd like to wear a high hat, a wide hat, hats with bows bigger than bread baskets.
Boy, does that turn him on. He just substituted smile for wet.
That is anyway. That is except the Queen Mother, who still can make me wet whenever she makes an entrance.
Jesus. My hat's off to the grand ladies who still wear them.
Look at all the black women spilling out on the street. High hats, wide hats, hats with bows. Hey! Hello, black women! I'm Craig Wilson. I love your hats. Aren't they beautiful?
Look at these beautiful hats.
August and Saratoga bring them out.
Society ways. Although Elizabeth's hat at Liza's wedding this month was a big disappointment. What? Oh, I'm so sorry you were disappointed.
What's going on there?
Final word by Craig Wilson.
Wow.
Can you imagine that over coffee? Did you see Elizabeth Taylor's hat at Liza Minnelli's wedding?
What was going on there?
I don't know, but I was tray disappointed.
Oh, all I know is I can't wait for August in Saratoga. We'll see some beautiful hats down there.
You know, if he added onto this, it was a real true column, you know, at the end. The last two paragraphs will be, although I'm a man, I wear women's hats. And so does my partner, Jack.
Hi, it's me, Jack.
This is a picture of my grandma, Lizzie.
We got a break. I know that's a day late, but we can.
Yeah.
Listen, it's his tribute to Easter hats. How could we possibly make it through the show without sharing
it? One of his greatest columns ever.
Okay, and when we come back, we got time. You got the machine ready?
Ready to go.
Okay, it's going
to
be a two-for-one. A two-for-one, guys who are dead.
Yeah, we have a pipeline to heaven.
Wow. We do, and we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We could the chit-chat a-hole. You may be kind. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Need a second to get the Wayback Machine going here. If you're just tuning in, we're back today from vacation. I'm alive. All that stuff was BS. I'll handle that my own way. News from Mike, not that great on the marriage front.
Yeah, kind of a drag. Sorry.
So what it's... You're moving into your... You're moving
kind of a weird setup right there.
I didn't quite...
To be doing that. We are separating, and it's very sad, and that's it. And so it's not not the happiest of times.
You know, and I've never asked you anything about
right.
What's going on or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Did you ever bring another woman into the bed?
No. No, I did not.
You never had a threesome?
No, I don't know what you're reading. You might be reading another story.
Oh.
No.
All right.
No.
Oh. Do you know the day you're married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Thank you for that Q&A, though. I appreciate it.
I was reading a different story.
Yeah.
Listen, here we go. We got two celebrities dead. Two dead in one day.
Yes. Right.
Wow. I mean, what are the odds of this? That it's both Dudley Moore and Milton Berle, both of them dead, and now... because God does love the Don and Mike show, we are able, via special hookup, to bring you directly to the afterlife, where I believe they are together. Let's see. Hello? Hello. Come in, heaven. Is this real?
Hello. Television.
Get off a little rough. All right, that's better. Hey, is Dudley there?
He's got to say, hold on a second, Dudley.
Where's Dudley Moore? How come this reverb always sounds awful?
Like the girls in the back.
Hold on, just let me turn this on. Let's get the goddamn thing set.
We got an engineer around here. That's a little better. There you go.
Okay. Try it now. Turn it. Say something else, Mike.
Hello. Yes.
All right, that's better.
This is Uncle Milty.
Okay, we got it now.
Perfect. Hello.
Oh, where's...
See, what's wrong with your equipment?
Where's Dudley?
He's over here. Dudley? Dudley? Don wants you to come to the phone. Little British heaven. You're a little British heaven.
I love it when Uncle Milty talks dirty. It makes me laugh because it's funny. It's funny. We're both dead on the same day. Me and Milton Bill.
Hey, Uncle Milty.
Yes?
Why don't you...
He smells too.
Yeah, like you don't.
I smell bad. I've got something between my teeth. I think it's brisket. Oh, I'm so old, I have an autographed Bible.
Well, I guess from Newton Bell. Hello there.
Oh.
Newton Bell, wearing a dress just like a girl.
Uncle Milty, I hope that you don't start doing some of those awful, crummy jokes of yours.
I'm at an age where all the numbers in my black book are urologists. Father Bing, how are you, Don?
Fine, Uncle Milty.
I'm so old, I need an orthopedic tuxedo. Nobody lives forever, but I try.
Hey, Dudley.
Yes, hello, Don. I just like to say I'm drunk. So, would you like to pour me another one? Billy, I'd like to go around the park, once around the park.
Jesus Christ, Don, and shut the F up.
Hey,
I don't like Brits. I don't like foreigners. I don't like foreign people at all. I share that with some of your crew. That's for sure. Oh, is this on? You know, I invented television. Did you know that?
Yeah, you didn't invent it. You were one of the first people on it, though.
You know, I don't have an enemy in the world. You know that, don't you? They're all dead. Hello? Is this on?
Hey, Dudley.
Hey, this is just an audience of royalty.
Hey, Dudley.
I think he sucks.
What about... What about that cow, Liza Minnelli, getting married?
Oh, Liza, she's so ugly. I can't stand the fact. I heard there's a rumor he's gay.
I've heard the same rumor that Liza Minnelli's husband is gay.
I understand. They're buying a big house. This house is so big, it's actually going to have its own zip code. Bill, I want to go down the park. Where's the rest of this moose?
Hey, Hey, Dudley?
Yes, Don! Look at me, I'm swinging on the head of trapeze!
Have you seen...
Back and forth on the head of trapeze!
Have you seen Uncle Milty's thing?
I asked him to show me. He hasn't been so gracious. We can swear all the crows up here. That's the first thing he asked me. He asked me if he could see my enormous penis that's known as the biggest penis in Hollywood history. And
would you, as a personal favor to me, would you show it to him?
If I let it out, there's no telling what's going to happen. You better get your sound effects ready if I open it up. That's for sure. If I whip out the giant burrow anaconda, there's going to be hell to pay. Do you want me to see? Do you want to see it, Dudley?
Whip it out.
Okay. Hello. This is on. I'm on the show. There it is. I've taken it out of the surround. Listen to it. That's Uncle Milty's thing. That's my giant tool of love. That's my deep sea moisturism. Town boy, what do you think of that little British thing?
That's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Watch out, Dudley, watch
out. It's going to hurt my claw foot. It's attacking me. I'm being attacked by Milton Berle's penis.
Is his penis biting you?
I put it back in the garage. Is it a big Dudley?
It's the biggest thing I've ever seen. I'm so guilty. It's gigantic. It's the size of a car.
Let me ask both of you guys before we lose the connection.
Isn't this fun?
What is the best thing about being dead, Dudley?
I think the best thing about being dead is I got to party with Uncle Milton Berle, and I got to see his gigantic tool of love. Isn't it fun? Uncle Milton, let's go around the park. Let's go around the park.
And Uncle Milton, what's the best thing about being dead?
What?
What's the best thing about being dead?
Nothing. I want to be alive. I was almost going to live forever. I like being down there because I had the biggest penis in the world. Now I'm up here and I can't even use it if I want to, so I'm not happy at all. I'm very depressed, but I'd love to give you some more jokes if you have the time.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you right now, Liza Minnelli, I don't know how old she is, but when she and her husband got divorced, she got the cave. Get it? They're as old as cave people. When you get to be 95, you don't have to worry much about peer group pressure. You like that one? Hey, am I losing the room? Hello? Is this thing on? I don't know how old she is. But when Kane killed Abel, she was on the jury. Hello?
Put Dudley back on before we lose the connection.
What does an old woman have between her breasts?
What?
Her nipple. Hello, this is Mom.
It's just fun.
Well, why don't you just try to play piano, you little bag? When you club foot, you weren't funny. You said you could shake it off on my side.
All right, goodbye, guys.
Toodaloo ass.
How'd they go from heaven?
I don't think they like each other.
No. That would be Dudley Moore.
Right.
With Uncle Milton was right. He has a club foot.
Right.
Dudley Moore is club foot.
He's Moore and Milton.
And
comedy stylings of Moore and Milton.
And Uncle Milty. And
he just sounded very angry. Uncle Milty was not happy to be dead.
Sure. Giant thing. And pass over that book that you had there.
There it is.
For some reason, Spiewak has had this book on his desk.
Sure.
Like waiting for Milton Berle to die.
Oh, God.
Milton Berle's private joke file.
Yes.
10,000 of Milton Berle's World's Funniest Gags, yes. Anecdotes, and One-Liners.
You were able to hear some of those fantastic ones there.
Yeah.
They're really terrific.
They are terrific.
Things work out for the best. There's a book of them, 10,000. All
dude.
Stolen. All of them stolen. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Dan. I'm so dead.
Let's go to Buzz now. For news and comments.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Creepy British flag.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Donna Mike.
Oh, I missed the news and the comments. I did miss this part of the show.
Yes.
Okay. Let's do the hit the lead-in thing.
It's
please.
Back.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
It is Buzz. Buzz, what is your lead made-up story today?
Today, another grade school sex scandal.
Really?
Really.
Really. Boy or girl?
Boys.
Right on.
Really?
Hello, it's Donna Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, my name is Melinda. I'm from Philly.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi. We just got you guys here a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And I think that you guys are awesome.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you guys are on the radio. When are you guys coming to Philly?
I think a couple of weeks.
2 weeks we're going to be in Philly.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Can I ask you a question about the show?
Do you get the impression we're being set up for a fall here?
Yeah.
Is something evil's going to come? Something mean and nasty?
Out of a girl?
Yeah, out of a girl, yeah.
Yes.
Why?
It'll happen. You could be a cunny.
But we'll see. That may prove us wrong.
Oh.
Come on.
What were you going to say? Come on, you were going to say, and can I ask you one thing?
Is this going to be a comedy show? Because you guys kind of suck.
There it is. And you see, you weren't bright enough to mask it. There you go, dumbass.
See you in Toledo.
See you in Toledo.
Yeah.
Oh, Don, you can't say that on the radio.
Oh, sure I can, Buzz.
That's okay.
That's okay. You answer to that name, don't you?
Oh, that's fantastic.
You answer to that name. You should just have that tattooed on your forehead.
And she wasn't bright enough to hide it. She had her whole little setup going, but we outed her very quickly.
There she goes.
Have a nice day.
So I called her the C word. And she goes, yeah.
She rolled with it. Oh, she was unfazed by that.
Yeah.
Well, she hears it a lot.
Yeah. Buzz, your lead story was a little boy getting
sex. Grade school sex, right.
Grade school sex. Gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Hello, right there. Yeah.
It's Mr. Busy. Mr. Talking Busy
about,
on the line.
Talking about dead. I'm dead. You killed me.
Okay, again, not quite.
You killed me. You killed my career in show business. You're totally dead.
Who is this?
This is Wild Bill.
Wild Bill.
This is the guy that wanted the infomercial show on MAL.
Oh, the furniture guy.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so. They called me up because they were monitoring this. And they called me up and read me off like a redheaded stepchild.
Hey, hold on a second, Bill.
Yeah.
I'll call you back. Right. Yeah, I know. I think I'm great, too.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You're the guy who wanted a show on WMAL, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's gone.
All right. Call tomorrow earlier in the show. I'll discuss it with you earlier in the show.
Hey, hold on a
earlier
second.
Earlier in the show?
Yeah, hold on. Wild Bill, just hold on a second.
Yeah. Yeah,
hold on. Yeah, he is. Yes, he is an ass. Yes. Okay. What were you saying?
Yeah, I just wanted to hang out and be a radio god like you guys. You were my mentors, man. And they called me up and said, no way would we ever do business with you.
Because you were on our show.
I'm a loose cannon. They can't trust me.
Right. Gotcha.
I said things I shouldn't have said.
Not to mention scary talented.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
I'm telling you, man. What am I going to do now? Can I come and hang out with you guys or what?
No, but as I said, call earlier in the show tomorrow. I'd be glad to talk with you about who you talked with at WMAL.
We don't have time right now because we're at the end of the show.
Tomorrow at the beginning of the show.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Get up early. Start speed dialing at like about 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Make sure you're the first call through.
Oh, you know, thanks.
Okay, we got to run.
Bye.
To the loony.
Bye.
Ass.
Hello. We didn't get the show, huh?
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Oh, we got a break. I'm sorry. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That's very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's
the word from Planet Crackpot.
The only cure for syphilis of the anus. The Don and Mike Show.
Here we are. Listen, we do want to say hi to the fine guys and gals listening today at Carroll Engineering in Philadelphia. They've been calling a lot today.
Good.
They never made it on the air. We want to tell them thank you very much.
All right.
We got a couple of guys, I think, from Seattle. Is that right? Seattle callers? You know, you got to remember to call those two dumbasses in line at the movie theater.
I mean, it's getting right down to the wire,
waiting
right?
for Star Wars. It's like 6 weeks until the Star Wars movie.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, I just called to let you know, man. I was one of the guys that called you when you first came on to Seattle. And I went off, and I told you guys sucked, and I hung up on you, and it was just, you know, I gave it a little time. I've been listening to you guys, and the show's grown on me, and I just wanted to tell you I was wrong. I think you guys got a good thing, and I apologize.
Oh, well, listen, that's nice. Thank you. We said that the show is like herpes. I literally just like, it's like athlete's foot. It's like gangrene.
And it makes an impression on people, and people get strong opinions when they hear it for the first time, but right. then when you linger for a bit, you come
it's
around.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
There you go.
All right, thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What, you got two guys from Seattle? Are you from Seattle, too?
Hey, man.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Right on. Yeah, I thought that last guy answered one of my questions. I was wondering why these idiots call you up and curse you out and hate you. It's like, why do they call you, like, are they that stupid that they can't change the radio station?
I think people get emotionally involved with this program and they want to state their opinions, bad or good, and we, you know, we deal with that. That's what happens.
It's well, fine. It does make for good radio, I must say. I just started listening to you guys, and you kick ass.
All right, well, thanks. And you are also calling from Seattle.
You betcha.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thanks
friend.
A lot.
Well,
thanks.
Guys.
Thanks.
It's Blue.
The bluest
fly
you've ever seen.
Stop it.
In Seattle.
Stop it, please. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Buzz, I just wanted to tell you I had a good time on our vacation.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Hey, Jorge.
Jorge, what did you do on your vacation with Buzz?
Buzz and I took a trip in the car.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Road trip.
Long time to pack the trunk.
Really? Was the engine on when you were in his car?
Yes, and we did 69 the whole way there.
Wow. Makes it difficult to drive.
Man, that's very tough. You were speeding then. You were doing 69 the whole way.
Yes, well, actually, it was 67. Two fingers were missing.
Oh, dear me.
Let me simply say, thank you for the call, Jorge.
Buzz.
Yes, Jorge.
My pinky is very stinky.
Oh, God.
Hi, Jorge.
That's open water. You'll be fine.
Yeah, fine.
And how are you feeling after that, Buzz?
Oh, I'm well-rested and ready to go.
Very good.
Buzz is a new show brought to you by the Hard Times Cafe. Great food, good people, cheap prices. Get yourself over to Hard Times for some soul-satisfying chili, a big old chili dog, or a half-pound char-grilled burger. Check hardtimes.com for your neighborhood location. All right, Buzz.
Yes.
It's another kid getting laid.
Several, actually, by each other, apparently, in a sense. Police in a suburb of Austin, Texas, are looking into charges that several fourth-grade boys performed sexual acts on each other in an elementary school classroom. A school official says that during reading time, the five boys hid under coats in the back of the room so the teacher wouldn't see them. The 9 and 10-year-old boys say they've done it before, starting as early as last fall.
Welcome to Broyhill Elementary.
Police are now trying to see if any criminal charges might be in order.
No, wait, these are boys.
The hell are the teachers?
Exactly.
These are boys.
Yeah. I can't.
These are teachers effing up. You should know where your kids are. So it's not that big a deal.
These are boys having doing homosexual things.
Right. To each other in the back of the room under the coats during reading time.
While the teacher is reading to the class, or...
Well, maybe the teacher was reading a boring story.
The story doesn't say if the teacher was in the room or out of the room at the time, but either way, they weren't being supervised.
I mean, if you're not going to teach them how to read and write, at least provide babysitting services.
Those are fourth graders. Now, in Kansas City, school officials admit that...
But you didn't do that in fourth grade?
No, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know that.
Yeah.
You went to the advanced school.
Whenever I got bored, I would go... go back and get a Hummer from one of my friends.
Great way to make a friend.
Back in your days at Liberace Middle.
They grow up so fast. In Kansas City, school officials admit that some third graders were strip searched last week after some lunch money went missing.
Oh, Jesus.
In a letter to parents, the officials say the incident was, quote, an egregious violation of school policy. Gee, do you think? The parents say at least two teachers at the elementary school searched nearly two dozen students looking for $5. A female teacher took girls to a restroom and had them search each other. They say a male phys ed teacher searched the boys one at a time in a locker room, making them shake out their underwear. The two teachers have been suspended. Oh, the money was eventually found, but not on one of the students.
Oh, and that reminds me, I wanted to mention earlier today on the show, but I forgot. I had contact with, through that erroneous web story about me, some of my buddies from elementary school and junior high school about coming in and doing the reunion.
Oh, Dufus like, and Flame.
And
Moon Mullins.
Moon Mullins and Kevin Kinchy and all the guys coming in.
Yeah.
Remind me tomorrow, I just wrote myself a note. I never told the story about the fire.
That's right.
I told you guys the story about our gang when I was in the growing up. And, you know,
nobody was hurt, right?
Yeah, gang is not the right word because we didn't fight anyway. We were just a bunch of kids and hung around together. We stole a bicycle one time.
Kleptomaniacal group.
And I was going to tell you about the fire story. And one of the guys, when they called to make sure I wasn't dead, said, "Hey, yeah, you know, we're going to get the guys together and come down and we'll have a reunion here on the show of me
See
and
how
all
everybody's grown up,
all the kids that I grew up with, all the guys." That I hung around with. But you said you'd mentioned the story about the fire, and you never did.
No, none of them doing jail time currently, right?
No.
Very.
No. No. As far as I know. 14.
But they were all part of your group when you were in fourth grade under the coats.
yes, they were.
That's how it started.
Yes, they were. Actually, I'll tell you, I do know.
Oh, no.
I know about a guy. Well, God, he would be pissed. One of the guys
in your group,
yeah,
in your gang, did something sordid.
Yes.
Someone who'll remain anonymous. You want to keep him anonymous, or do you want to mention him by name?
No, I don't want to say his name. He told me one day at school. This was like in eighth grade. When we were coming out of it was Earl B. Wood Junior High in Rockville. We were coming out.
The password being Wood.
Yeah, we were coming out of school this day, and it was like eight of us hanging around together, all the guys who were going to come down here and be on the show. We have this little reunion of mine, junior high, and one of the guys broke off and spoke to someone else, and they kept saying, D-O-T. Okay, well, D-O-T, D-O-T, D-O-T. And finally, we got this guy, who probably won't be coming down to the show now.
I'm sorry.
And mentioned, what the hell is D-O-T? D.O.T. Any ideas what D.O.T. means?
No, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Date of anything? Something date of something?
No. He was talking to another guy.
Who was talking to another guy?
Okay. The friend, there was like eight of us together in a group.
No supervising or anything like that.
Leaving school. We're leaving school. One of the eight in my gang would break off, leave the other seven, and go talk to another guy, another kid. Another seventh grader.
Uh-huh.
And they would always say to each other, okay, later, D-O-T. D-O-T.
The T wouldn't be taste, would it?
No. Well, as it turns out, one time, I think a couple years later, we asked this kid about it. And I mean, like, we almost pounded the crap out of him trying to get it. What you say, what is D-O-T?
Right.
D-O-T was do our thing.
Oh.
And
what was their thing?
Their thing was oral.
Youthful experimentation.
To each other? Yes.
Wow. That's pretty heavy duty.
But he maintained he was not gay. He just couldn't get any.
So he wanted to. Wow. My God, what was in the water at your school?
I don't know.
Oh, it was Wood Elementary.
What
a great guy he is. Wow.
I don't know.
Fascinating. Man.
I don't know.
Is he part of the gang?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You were open-minded. You kept him in the gang.
Okay, I'll write down which guy he was.
Okay.
So things really haven't changed that much.
That's incredible. He's jotting down the name of the...
Never to be revealed on the air, of course.
Oh,
here you go.
That's who it was.
Of course it was.
But that's who it was.
Okay.
You know, I've talked about these guys long enough on the air.
Golly gee.
Well, I hope he's not listening today, but I hope...
Well, you haven't mentioned any names,
no.
So it's fine.
No.
Well,
It'll be fine.
He would know, and everybody in the group knows.
Yeah.
What, you know, DOT means.
Do our thing.
Do our thing.
Wow.
Do our thing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You bet.
We were like, oh, God. And his response was, well, hey, where else am I going to get it?
What, how old was he?
Seventh grade?
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Seventh grade?
My God. What's wrong with the world?
But anyway, I'll tell you about the fire tomorrow.
We'll look forward to that. Yeah, I think we've started one right now.
Okay, we got to break.
All right.
Right? Okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah, we're all feeling a little oogie right now.
Yeah, let's towel off.
I took off some of your news time, but there was just a flashback from my...
lunch.
growing up.
You need to remember that and deal with it.
Growing up.
We're going to play in commercials. We got a DOT.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And that weak-ass story is the best you can come up with.
DJs and DAs, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, we got to fly. Let's get to the 100th caller time. 877-365-3636. Hey, you animals. Dial recklessly. Good luck. Here's Buzz again. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, we were hearing from Washington Wizards coach Doug Collins that Michael Jordan wanted to play next year, but that he might not be able to because of his knee injury this afternoon. Jordan says he still plans to play next year. And finally...
And no big whoop.
It was maybe three
or... Oh, baby. Oh, we don't have time to get into the hole.
I'm not playing.
Yes, you are, baby.
No, baby.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Get your ass out there. You play for me.
Okay, baby.
It was maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I first spotted them. Soft drink bottles along the side of the road, capped and full of yellow liquid. And as I speculated on the Don and Mike Show back then, they were filled with urine, and now it's a big problem.
Well, you spotted them as you were throwing them out of the window of your car.
I don't do that.
Okay.
Dateline Spokane.
Anymore.
I have enough problems. A spring cleanup of the roadsides in Washington State has turned up hundreds of bottles of the stuff. 300 full bottles were found along I-90 and other roads near Spokane in just a one-week period. The cleanup crews say they've also picked up over a dozen pair of soiled underwear.
Oh, God.
And bags of the more solid human waste.
Oh, God.
They say soiled baby diapers are also a big problem.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is not just the handiwork of...
What's a mother to do?
Not just the work of truck drivers, but quoting the head of the Washington Trucking Association's, this is the first I've heard of it. I'm Buzz Burbank.
DOT.
On the Mike Show. Sorry, baby. Department of Transportation.
Yes, that's right. All right, we got to go. Great to be back. So glad to be back on in Baltimore again.
Right.
Live in Baltimore. That's beautiful.
That's just being on tape delay up there. Sucks.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, this is Chris. I am the 100th caller.
Yeah. Hey, where are you from, Chris?
I'm from Cookeville, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful. Chris, you've got a pair of tickets to see Poison with special guest Cinderella, Winger, and Faster Pussycat. This might as well be the Joe Artinger tour. Nissan Pavilion, July 12th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. Ticketmaster locations. Or go to www.nissanpavilion.com. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Newsmaker Leah's on the show. A whole bunch of Jeopardy. Gossel. A whole bunch of stuff. Great to be back. Great to be alive. Good day to you, sir.
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 And tomorrow I'll tell you about the fire.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll talk more about DOT.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not?
Hey, Rob.
You know, I did all vacation.
Well, I'm not even going to ask because I
did.
Okay, but you
missed it.
Okay, but you're back to not doing it.
Of course,
you're not being kind now.
Let's do DOT.
No.
Throw your hat in the air like Sidney Tyler Moore.
Oh.
My God, toodaloo.
Ass.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, "Yeah, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging."
This is the Don and Mike Show.